much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yo, ready?
I was born ready.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Why do you need me? You have the full resources of the FBI.
The FBI!
Damn it! I have got a serious case of the Mondays.
What are we going to do? We have to change our TVs to something else now. No more 2009, we're supposed to change our TV sets.
Okay, Grandpa.
Anyway, a couple of things that are happening around town for Stephanie's Bees. They're going to be at July the 14th at the Troubadour. Actually, they already played. And then Polyphonic 3 are playing at the El Rey.
I can't argue with that.
And now, okay, explain the pink.
Have you taken the sexual harassment seminar yet?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. How's everybody's weekend? Why are you laughing already?
It's good to know nothing changes.
Yeah.
Kevin cut it pretty close this morning, wasn't he?
You should see his hair, too.
How dare you?
You look like you were in a wind tunnel, and I don't know what happened to you this morning.
I blow-dry my hair that way to look good.
Oh, really?
No.
What about Lisa May, ladies and gentlemen? Come on.
Oh, thank
the return
God.
Of Lisa.
She's back.
I missed you. I listened to you on Friday a little
what?
Bit. And I was sorry to miss, you know, the band.
The band.
The band.
I was enjoying the band.
And that was early in the day.
You guys are actually getting better.
We went out late that night. We had a show. Where was it?
The Troub.
We played the Troub on Friday night. And Ralph pretty much started throwing drumsticks and a big riot happened.
Oh, no.
So he's going to, I don't think he's going to be here today.
Oh, dear God.
It was a rough
really?
Night. Melfon almost ended. That's how bad it got.
Well, Melfon barely began.
Kevin was at the front of the stage, and he's taunting people in the pit. And they come up on stage, and they're trying to get in his face. And Ralph's not going to stand for that. So he comes out from behind the drum kit, and he's knocking people out. It was really a mess.
It was.
It was like a whole riot. And then where was Omar?
Omar was starting
at the
end
of the bar, lighting
things
on fire.
He was already passed out.
No.
I smashed my guitar into a guy's face, and I played an E chord right with his dome piece. And that, you know, I'm getting assault charges. It was, you know,
wow.
That's the life on the road. They say
I hear you.
Lisa May, the road's a bitch.
That's how good Mike is that he can hit a guy in a face and still play an E chord.
Sure. I'm impressed. Yeah. I'm impressed with all of it.
Frankly, we had a discussion if it was ever going to be a VH1 Behind the Music on Melfon, we needed to mix it up a little bit because there wasn't much of a story to be told so far.
We're ready now. We're ready. We had a weekend that
you've had two performances here and then a performance at the Troub.
Correct.
That's right.
And that's it? And
now you're ready to break up.
No. There's a show in Norway. then there was Red Rocks. We did Reading Festival.
Really?
That's right. Reading Festival in England.
Oh, my God. I feel like I've been gone forever.
Yeah, we did a lot.
Wow.
We came from nothing, but we made it. You know, and it's
impressed.
A beautiful story.
Yep. All right. Very cool, you guys.
It is good to have you back, though, Lisa, because we did cheat on you with a younger, hotter woman.
I know you did. I didn't know if I should come back or not, if there was a seat for me left.
Hey, if it was just going on looks, no. But I will tell you that... I'm just saying. You know, it's hot to have a chick on the side, you know, and it's crazy and unpredictable. But there's something about the reliable sex that we get with you that I find comforting. That's all I'm saying.
You know what you're getting.
Describe sex.
Yeah, the good home-cooked meal that we're getting from Lisa May warms my heart. That's what I'm saying. As exciting as it is to jet all over the world with a hotter, younger chick and go to fancy restaurants, it's nice to come home. That's my point.
All right.
Well, I feel... I don't know how I feel.
Just don't bring anything home. That's key.
Good point.
Exactly.
Just don't bring anything home.
All right. It is Monday. It is 1-800-520-1067, our toll-free number. Time for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Two great prizes that don't go together at all, but you get them both for being on the air with us here today. It's a pair of tickets to Six Flags Magic Mountain Fright Fest. Plus, how about this? A pair of tickets to see Morrissey at the Gibson Amphitheater on December the 10th.
All right.
Yeah.
Woo! Make a lot of Mexicans very happy to hear that we're giving those tickets away this week.
Somebody order Mexican?
Let's begin with Georgie Boy. Hey, Georgie Boy.
How about them Angels and Dodgers? First time ever in the Final Four.
Are you jogging right now, or
no? It's the audience. It's the audience.
He's doing sound effects.
You have your own sound effects? How do you do that? That's awesome. Although we couldn't tell what it was, but that's awesome.
It sounded to me like a bunch of guys running in the army is what it sounded like.
That's what I thought. It was odd. Yeah.
The people clapping for the Angels.
I find it hard to believe that the Angels and the Dodgers have never been at this point in the playoffs at the same time. That just doesn't sound possible.
It's possible.
Yeah. They both swept, right?
Yeah.
Both teams.
Yes.
Wow.
And the Yankees swept, too.
Yankees
so all, three out of the four series were three-game series already. And then Philadelphia and Denver is still going on. And who knows? You know, if Denver ends up going past this round, who knows how long this baseball season will last now that they're into the snow season.
By the way.
They already had to delay the game three by 2 days because of snow.
Delay it because of snow.
It was 35 degrees when the game started last night.
Unbelievable.
That seems all bad.
I was at the game last week here in Dodger Stadium, and it was like 50, you know, and like as the sun was going down, and I was getting angry because it was that cold.
It's too chilly.
And then you open up the paper yesterday morning, and you see, oh, could be a possible game time temperature, 22 degrees.
Yeah.
F.
Yeah, that's not right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's very exciting. A lot of good baseball happening. And the Angels win, especially over the Red Sox yesterday, was a come from behind win. You know, in the ninth inning against one of the best closers in baseball. So it was very exciting. I'm sure the Red Sox fans are just stunned right now to see their guys out.
Love that. I love any Boston team going down. I'm good with that.
I'd prefer the Yankees were out. I'd be much happier to see the Red Sox continue instead of the Yankees. But I guess we'll see what happens. And by the way, no American League playoffs till Friday now. Yankees, Angels going to be Friday.
All right, let's talk real sports.
Okay.
Matt, hi.
Winner, man.
Hello, Matt.
Yes, hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
What do you, nephew?
What did you?
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
I know baseball is getting exciting, but it's not too early to talk about basketball.
No,
how do you think the Lakers are going to do with Ron Artest and Kobe?
Ring.
I certainly hope they do well. I've never been a Ron Artest fan. I don't like him.
It's got to be tough for you.
But I hope he works in on our team. I think we have as good a shot as anybody, you know?
Something cool happened to me the other day. I was at the indoor shooting range, and I saw Andrew Bynum there. And he's a real nice guy, real cool. He let me shoot his AR-15. I was all tricked out. Really nice.
All right.
All right.
Shooting
weapons with basketball players.
That was troubling, but...
Did you at any point say, hey, stop practice shooting guns and practice shooting free throws?
That's a no, I'm guessing.
No.
All right. Thank you for
good
the call.
Good comeback, though. Kevin, you would like Ron Artest had you been here the day he came in.
I believe
you
that.
Yeah.
Super,
yeah, you're right.
Super cool dude.
I totally believe that I would. I don't like the player that just... can clamp down on the other team's superstar just by fouling and holding and kneeing. And he just plays a rougher style of basketball than I like. And I think it's kind of cheating to...
Yeah.
I don't know. But if he's going to be doing it for us, fine. Okay.
Then you're good.
That's fine.
We've done baseball. We've done basketball. We might as well keep the round robin going and go to Anthony on line two. He's calling about football.
All right. Anthony, hi.
Hey, what did you do, nephew?
What did you do?
Hey, welcome back, baby boo.
Thank you.
All right, so 6 years ago, the Raiders lost the Super Bowl on my birthday, and I stuck with them.
Right.
But after last night, I quit. I'm done. I can't do it anymore. In fact, I'm recruiting a new team, if you guys have any ideas of that.
Oh, you want to pick another team to follow?
Yeah, I can't do the Raiders anymore. It's too painful.
For folks who didn't see, they lost 44-7 last night to the Giants.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs?
No, it was the Giants. It was
no, I'm giving you some other options.
The Chiefs, well, you know what? I actually came across this new football league called the Lingerie Football League. I'm thinking about you.
No.
Well, that's a much
Pick
better.
Pick a lingerie team. That's a good idea.
That's a much better idea.
No matter what happens, you win.
Yeah.
Hey, I wasn't watching the game, Anthony. How early in the game did they pull Eli Manning out?
I don't even know. I actually started watching it after the score was like 28-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's just win, baby, you know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It hurts. Kevin, tell Anthony about the car you saw the other day.
Oh, I saw a car the other day that had Raiders, giant Raiders logo painted on it.
Yeah.
And then it said, just win, baby, underneath it. And then on the back of it, I put it up on my Twitter thing.
Oh, okay.
And then on the back of it, it says, F the haters.
Oh,
and
really?
That guy's driving around. They just lost 44-7. No F you Raiders guy.
That's just embarrassing.
Yeah, that hurts. They find new ways to lose that they didn't know could happen. That's just really? That's a frustrating team. And again, I think that goes back to the ownership.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I agree.
Listen, the same thing goes with the Cowboys. You run into problems anytime your owner tries to be GM as well.
Right.
And when especially with the Raiders, Al Davis is certifiable at this point, and it's tough. You're not going to win football games that way.
Yeah.
It's funny, though, even with that lopsided victory, that was not even the biggest blowout in the NFL yesterday. The Seahawks beat the Jaguars 41-0 yesterday.
Wow.
That was not an exciting game, I got to tell you that.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it got out of hand pretty early. It was weird to hear some of the stats that were going around on the TV yesterday. Did you know that this is the first, this year with Minnesota is the first year that Brett Favre has ever been 5-0 in his career, for instance?
No, that is interesting.
You would think with as good as the Packers have been, a lot of those years that would have happened before.
Yeah.
Giants are 5-0 now. I think Denver's 5-0 now. It was some great football yesterday. That Denver game was unbelievable.
While we're on the topic, those throwback jerseys and helmets that they're wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Stop it.
The Denver uniforms have got to be the worst uniforms ever, right?
There's no way they ever wore those in Denver. They were puke brown. And like it's gold, but yellow, but just stripes everywhere.
Vertical stripes, yeah.
They were hideous.
Oh, wow.
But they strike gold every once in a while. Those Kansas City jerseys were dope. I guess when they used to be the Texans?
Yeah, those were okay.
The state outline of those were sweet.
Those were okay. And, I mean, the New England Patriots were okay, except for their little gay center that they have on the helmet.
That is pretty gay.
But, man, oh, man, the Denver, they should just make up a false one and just go, this used to be our jersey. Because we're not wearing that.
When did the Seahawks wear the jerseys they wore a couple weeks ago? I do not remember those.
I don't either. It had to be, you know, very, very early on, that's for sure. But there was a reason they changed the jerseys from that puke green.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Why go back to a jersey that was so bad you got rid of it? Hey, let's squeeze in one more. I know we're running late, but is this James on line 8? Is he calling with an update on the wife and the threesome? Remember he called for some advice last week? I want to see if it happened.
Hey, James.
No, this ain't James from last week.
Oh, you're a new James. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, then just go to the podcast and listen to the advice we gave the other guy. All right, thanks for calling. He's going the same thing. I'm not going through that again.
Well, I think we might need to. It seems like we have a lot of listeners that are trying to make that happen. We might threesome.
What is this, like the Christmas season starting or something?
Yeah.
Giving.
So anyway, let's take a quick break. We will come back with a showbiz beat on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to talk to David Allen Greer.
Oh.
We have Penn Badgley.
Mm-hmm. Who, Private Eye.
Of course, is on Gossip Girl and
that's right.
The new movie Stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
We have, you met a family member for the first time on Facebook. Family member, direct
really?
Family member. Yes.
There was a story over the weekend about a family that had split up. The father left when he was 3 and he just got arrested for propositioning his daughter on MySpace.
No.
Propositioning his daughter on MySpace and knew it was her, by the way.
What? Oh,
bad surprise for the daughter to be hit on by her father, who has been out of her life since she was a baby.
Oh, my.
I thought these were going to be good surprises.
Me, too.
Well, they're maybe some good surprises, too. But
happy stories of people. Yeah,
God,
I met my long-lost brother. Bean has to go right for that.
Gross.
I'm just telling you, just happened to be in the news this weekend.
And also in our studios, Jessica Stroop from 90210.
Oh, come on. I heard from DeJuan, 30 times over the weekend about Jessica Stroop on Monday's show.
He's very excited about that.
Yeah.
So that's all coming up this morning. The Showbiz Beat is next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:52.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. Ralph Garman is on vacation this week. We are going to continue to keep you up to date with what's going on in the world of entertainment. By the way, I'm very happy to say today, Kevin, that I am kicking off my 5-part dissection of Miley Cyrus's goodbye Twitter rap that she posted on her website over the weekend. You know, Lisa,
How do you put up a rap?
you miss the big news, Lisa, but it's a new 9/11. I mean, really, we were shaken to the core. I guess it happened on Friday when Miley Cyrus made the decision to leave Twitter and her almost 2 million followers behind. She decided she's done with it. She's out. And, of course, you know, people have been going crazy with the speculation as to why. Plus, how do I fill up those hours on my weekend now that I don't have Miley's tweets to run through, right?
Well, Twitter's over if Miley's done.
So what she decided to do was she and some of her friends recorded a rap that she wrote about explaining all the reasons why. But there's too much of it to play all at once, so we're going to parcel it out for you here today.
I thought you meant she Twittered a rap.
No,
so she actually recorded a rap. That's awesome.
Yes, she recorded a rap. You can find the video on her site. You can find it on YouTube and everything like that. So here is part one of Miley. And in part one, she confirms the rumors that you've heard that she's done with tweeting.
Yeah, the rumors are true. I deleted my Twitter. Can you believe it? I got 2 million. Then I said adios. I had to say goodbye. And this little rap is to tell my fans why.
Okay, so that's all we have time for this time. Oh, next hour, she'll get into the reasons why she's decided to no longer tweet. And it has been a firestorm of controversy.
Murder.
That is not a good rap.
No, it's not.
And I love it. There are two different stories in the showbiz news today about Katy Perry and Russell Brand being a real couple.
Really?
A real couple.
She is setting herself up for heartbreak there, isn't she?
She came out on the MTV Video Music Awards. She was performing, and then Russell Brand came out, and he said something to her. Apparently, he met her backstage. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, those of you that know Russell Brand and you think, how's he pulling? This guy does it.
He came into the studio. He's been here twice.
Yes.
And Alex and I and Miss Cleo will all testify there's something about him. He's got it going on.
But he's got it going on in person much more. Like, I thought he was terrible on the MTV Awards because he just yelled the whole time.
Awful.
But in person, there's something about him that the chicks love.
Yeah.
So he and Katy Perry were seen not only last week in, where was it, Thailand on vacation, but now they've been seen in Paris and they're hanging out. And they're a couple. She's with him. That's happening.
And she doesn't have to be. She has plenty of other options. Lisa, that hair, though, would you ever want to date a guy who takes more time with his hair than you do?
Generally, no, but he is sexy. There's something about him.
He looks like he needs a shower, too, by the way.
No, well, he smells just fine.
He does need a shower. That's that's a given. But he's got her, so who's laughing now?
He's not showering her off.
No.
Yeah, I guess he wins if he gets Katy Perry.
Yep. That's crazy.
The return of Amy Winehouse last night on a television show in Britain called Strictly Come Dancing. It has Strictly Come Dancing.
I rented that over the weekend, too. God.
There are two interesting facets to this story. One is she was on the show because she was one of the backup singers for her niece. Remember the story that we did a few weeks ago about the fight she got in where she went down to her goddaughter, excuse me. She went down to her goddaughter's school and beat up some of the kids that were making fun of her goddaughter, Dion. And she was talking about how she was signing her to her record label. Well, apparently the niece, the 13-year-old, performed on this program last night, and Amy Winehouse did backup vocals for her. So this is her first and most public appearance in a long, long time. I mean, she has barely been on stage for the past year. Many people barely remember Amy Winehouse is a singer.
Yeah.
She's really just tabloid fodder. The other news, and this may be new to you, Kevin, I'm very excited if I am sharing this with you for the first time, is that she got a boob job. Amy Winehouse.
No!
Now, that's not going to help her face, but she apparently did go from a 32B to a 32D. You can't really see much in the video from her television performance last night because she's wearing a jet black dress that goes all the way up to her neck. And it's just, everything's kind of smushed. So you can't really see how they look. But, so she went and got the breast.
You know what that is? That's misdirection. I want you to look at something besides my face because my face is ugly.
Who is the surgeon that said, yes, she's healthy enough to have surgery?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And don't you need some, ladies, to help me out here, but isn't there some pain medication involved in after a boob job?
Oh, it always.
Seems like
you'd have, that can't be good for Amy.
Maybe that's why she had the boob job.
Oh, that's a great theory that she's looking for surgeries just so she can get the drugs afterwards.
Yeah, no one will give it to her
anymore. Surgery they'll do on her, she'll take.
Oh, man.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the new buxom Amy Winehouse.
Paris Hilton has a new toy. She is adding another member to her family, a miniature pot-bellied pig.
Oh, no.
Okay, that's...
So this is the latest little pet that she's going to be carrying around to nightclubs.
And then lose.
And then she'll leave it there, and somebody else will pick it up.
How many times have we seen a picture of Paris Hilton and gone... Well, that's a different dog than one she had last time.
Yeah. I don't think she can keep track of them.
They're accessories.
They are accessories, yes. So,
and you know that she's exactly the pet owner that people are fearful of, which is, it will be cute, it'll be fun, yet she's going to lose interest and not spend any time with it, not take care of it, not teach it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's true.
That's too bad. Top movies at the box office, by the way, like we do on Monday, there was a huge surprise. The top estimate of how much Couples Retreat was going to make, according to early tracking in Hollywood, was $20 million. That was the most optimistic estimate, $35.3 million.
Wow.
For the new movie with Vince Vaughn, Jon Favreau. Of course, there are a lot of reasons to go see it. Not a lot of new competition in theaters. Hotties in Bikinis is another reason to go see it. The trailers were good. It looked very funny. Guys like Vince Vaughn have a big following.
Right.
But $35.3 million is a huge opening weekend for Couples Retreat. I didn't see it. Anyone? Anyone?
I did not. No. Didn't have time.
I saw Zombieland.
Did you?
How'd you like that?
I liked it a lot.
Zombieland came in at number two this box office weekend at $15 million. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was number three. The Toy Story and Toy Story 2 re-release was number four with $7.7 million. And the other big story of the weekend was this Paranormal Activity. $7.2 million, number five, only on 160 screens nationwide.
That's nothing.
Selling every ticket possible to every single screening. Most of those midnight screenings, too. So let's see how it does when it goes wider, what the word of mouth is going to end up being. But they've done a hell of a job so far with a movie that reportedly only cost $11,000 to make. And they made $7.2 million barely opening the thing. The rest of the top ten, if you're interested, Surrogates was number six, Invention of Lying seven, then Whip It, Capitalism, the Michael Moore film, and Fame rounds out your top ten.
Remember when Michael Jackson passed away and they said he's got hundreds of songs cataloged that are just waiting to come out? One of them has.
Really?
A song called This Is It. Oddly enough, for the This Is It tour, here's a little of what that sounds like.
This is it.
It's not good, but I mean, I guess it's all right. Yeah. I don't know how to judge Michael Jackson songs.
I haven't heard a good Michael Jackson song in 15 years.
Yeah.
So I guess that's not any worse than I was expecting it to be. So are they going to release a soundtrack album from the movie? Is that the plan?
I don't know.
Some of these new songs?
That's a good question. We'll have to find out. Yeah. I imagine they will, yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They're going to be milking his, whatever he's got left for as many years as they can.
Yeah.
All right, today's celebrity birthday is not a lot to choose from, but at least one that'll make Psycho Mike happy. Adam Rich is 41 years old today. Adam, of course, one of the youngsters on 8 Is Enough. He's 41 now. Kirk Cameron turns 39. Now, is he Bible Man?
Yeah.
Is that Kirk Cameron? He's Bible Man, right?
He made Firehouse or whatever it was.
Yeah, what is it? Into the Fire. Right.
Into the Fire.
I'm on
Fireflies.
Fire.
Fireflies.
And one of the most popular entertainers of the world, the nicest guy ever, and a tremendously talented actor, singer, Hugh Jackman, 41 today. And that is the show business.
Let's talk to the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa.
Yes.
Good morning, Your Honor. Do I call him Your Honor?
Why not?
Mr. Mayor, I think.
Mr. Mayor? Not Your Honor.
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
You just call me the mayor.
All right. The mayor.
Well, Mayor Villaraigosa, we wanted to get you on the phone because we couldn't help but notice how much camera time you were hogging at Dodger Stadium when Dodgers were there a few days ago. In the baseball playoffs. It just seemed like you were almost running from camera to camera to try to make sure your face got seen.
What can I say, man? I mean, like, this is my town, you know, Los Angeles, but I'm just a baseball fan in general. I love the sport.
You love everything.
I love being there. I just love the environment, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I love the ladies.
Well, what Bean is bringing up, though, is that you love the cameras and that you seem to be getting in front of them as much as possible.
Sure. Because I'm hot.
All right.
At one point, they were trying to interview poor Joe Torre after the game, and you just came bolted out of nowhere and just knocked him out of the shot.
Listen, shut up, okay? Joe Torre, he works in the city of Los Angeles. Who runs the city of Los Angeles?
Well you're the mayor,
but he doesn't work for you.
Bingo, bango, Frogman.
I don't know what that means.
He doesn't work for you, though. I mean, he works for the Dodgers. You don't have any authority in Dodger Stadium, is what
I'm
saying.
All right, you call me up to make fun of me because you see me at Dodger Stadium? What's the deal? Okay?
Yes.
I'm very busy. I'm at the ballet.
You're at the ballet?
What?
Sure.
At this time of the morning?
Sure.
At the ballet?
Is anyone dancing?
No, I'm going to eat breakfast at the hotel, so I give my keys to the guy who parks the car for me.
Oh,
the
valet.
Ballet. I'm sorry. We misunderstood.
Stupid?
I thought you said ballet. Okay, all right.
I'm at the ballet.
All right. So Dodgers sweep. What about
Okay.
You say you're... All right.
Mayor?
Yeah.
You say you're a huge fan of the sport. Tell us about Angel sweeping the Red Sox.
Listen to
coming
me.
From behind
Listen
like that.
To me.
Yes.
Both teams in Southern California sweep, okay? It's very appropriate because the lion's share of most of the fans here in Southern California are custodians or cleaning ladies. We always have brooms in our car anyway. You know what I'm saying?
See what you did?
Oh, I got gotcha.
Sweet comedy there.
Yeah. Stupid. And listen, okay? St. Louis, you suck. You're stupid.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, I don't. You need to berate them. They
Boston
just got
Red
swept
Sox,
out of the...
You suck.
Okay.
And you're stupid.
All right.
The only thing good that happened in that Boston series yesterday, there was a hot Asian chick like three rows up on the third baseline side with big boobs.
Oh, and I did not see that.
Did you see that? I thought you might see that being.
Did you send your people over there to make the introduction?
No.
Get her
but
number?
I did send a couple of my friends over to Boston, just to bring them a welcoming package and say, thank you for playing the Angels. You suck!
Yeah.
John DePaul.
All right, so Dodgers, Angels, Let Yankees. Down. Yankees swept Minnesota Twins.
Hey, listen to me.
Yeah.
Yankees, you suck. You're stupid.
Everybody else can't suck and be stupid,
Mr.
Mayor.
No, they do. Let me give you a couple of reasons, okay?
All right.
A-Rod has shiny lips.
Yeah, that's true.
He does.
That is true.
You
he
suck,
does?
A-Rod.
He does,
Listen
yes.
to me. Listen, Puto. You suck. You have shiny lips, and I saw How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. Your girlfriend sucks, okay?
Hard to argue.
Okay? That, he sucks.
Okay, all
and,
right.
And Mark Teixeira... Okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mark Teixeira, your last name is stupid.
Okay.
You suck. My family's from Texas, okay? Your last name is T-E-X, and it's pronounced Teixeira. That's stupid. You suck.
Well, you can't just make fun of people because of their names. I mean, a lot of people have trouble with your name, Villaraigosa, that you took half from your wife, for God's sake.
Well, at least, okay.
X.
Well, my name is not your business, okay? The problem is that Minka Kelly is going out with Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I put out a phone call to Reggie Jackson and Bucky Dent. We're going to make that broad airtight.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow,
that's... Mayor.
Shut up, Lisa.
Oh,
come on.
And here's
Respect.
Another thing.
I'd like to get in on that if I could.
That's the first Bucky Dent reference, by the way, since 1979.
In quite some
Listen
time.
To me.
Yes.
Listen to me.
Yes.
The Colorado Rockies. And the Phillies are in the only series still going on.
That's correct.
Last night,
so far.
It was 19 effing degrees, okay?
Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay? Listen to me.
Yeah.
That sucks.
It does. You're right.
Okay? Colorado, you suck as a place.
The whole state.
Now the whole state. Yeah.
You don't
you
care about
people
the,
suck.
You don't
the
care about the team.
The only thing that ever came out of Colorado was Coors Light. And listen to me. There's not enough Coors Light in the world to make you want to play baseball in 19 degrees.
Good point.
Okay, and I don't know what's better for my beloved Dodgers, if the Rockies win or if the Phillies win, because it's not like the Dodgers do that well against the Rockies, okay? They struggle going out at the end of the season against the Rockies. They had a lot of trouble with them. But let's not remember, it was only last season in the National League Championship Series that the Phillies kicked our balls in, okay?
That's
so
right.
I don't know
That's
who,
right, yeah.
who we want
to
play. But either way, 19 degrees, you suck.
Yeah. I'm with you
All
on
right.
that.
Well, you got a few days off. I don't think the Dodgers play again until next weekend. So how are you going to figure out a way to stay in front of the cameras with no games?
I guess I'm going to follow the Raiders around.
Wow. Really?
No.
Society!
Hey!
Yeah, that worked.
Yeah, I was by myself. So. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 23 minutes after 6 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm so furious at Lisa May, by the way. She was telling us during the song, you know what the Kevin and Bean band, Melphon, we were just reminiscing about some of the good old days. Mm-hmm. She was telling me this morning she does not remember that gig where we played with Nirvana and Mudhoney in San Jose in 1989. How could you forget that gig? That was one of the most fun nights
know.
We ever had on stage.
Maybe I just, I drank a
lot. You drank
lot
a lot, if I recall correctly.
Back then.
Yep.
If I, you,
so,
you did.
I probably blacked out.
Holly acoustic with Nirvana, if that
God,
night.
I.
You must have been hammered.
And then Kurt came out and played guitar with Melphon. For two songs, remember?
That doesn't ring
one of the,
any bells.
One
but
of the
you
best nights Melphon ever had.
I blacked out like a whole month back then.
You need to stop drinking.
I really do.
That's probably good.
David Alan Greer, very funny man. His book is called Barack Like Me. We'll talk to him in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, it's time to dip our toe into the beautiful warm waters of the Afro Line. 323-520-AFRO. You call us, leave a message. We play it back on the radio, and it goes a little something like this.
Clinton was in L.A. discussing energy and said, I quote, I love wind.
Of course, he loves anything that blows. But I'm bummed. Thank you. I'll be here all week.
See what she did?
Yes, I did.
That's what
bringing up the Bill Clinton jokes, everybody.
This one is specifically for Psycho Mike.
Tony Romo's last name rhymes with a homo.
All right.
Very excited about this month.
It's Rocktober!
Well done.
Not sure how that happens.
He could be our new lead singer.
He could. We're looking for one, as a matter of fact.
I think you guys are going about Rocktober wrong. Every Friday, you say Rocktober and jam it out. You got to make a drinking game out of it and do a shot of Jaeger like a rock star. Except for Bean, because he's gay. He just needs to suck.
Oh, wow.
He's giving you an option.
Mel Ford?
All right.
Mel Ford? Mel Ford?
Look, we know. We know.
Sure.
That's all. This guy's very excited about certain people on the show.
He's the man. Producer Alex. Psycho Mike.
Wow,
that's
Mike.
The trifecta
that's a big
of love
one.
Right there.
It is. Where are we with the dude that wants to get the tattoo of Psycho Mike?
Are we doing it
still? Is he serious?
Yeah, oh yeah.
He
I think
is.
He's coming.
That is not even open for debate.
Really?
He is not only serious, he is pumped.
And calling the Afro line a lot.
Hey, this is listener Robbie. If I ever do get to come in and get my tattoo of Psycho Mike, yeah! We could also shave my head. How about that? Yeah!
Right now, I think producer Alex is working with our tattoo artist and with Robbie about scheduling. I think it's just a question of getting everybody together when they can make it.
Looks like maybe Wednesday.
Oh, my right. God.
Yeah. What a terrible choice.
You guys.
What?
What are we doing?
We're encouraging a terrible choice. That's what we do.
Yeah, I do wonder if we've got some obligation just as good humans to try to talk it out of that.
No. At what point do we consider ourselves good humans?
And also, look, if this was his first tattoo, maybe we could discuss this. But the guy's covered. Who cares?
He'll just blend in.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
But it seems like the amount of time that will pass between when he gets the tattoo and when he regrets the tattoo is going to be hours, not months.
Right.
You know, and that's my
fear. That's the beauty of it. Why would you want to get in the way of that?
When did you stop being funny?
It's only funny if the guy regrets it. That's the best. We were doing something, I guess, last month where we were taking calls from people who ruined things that were very expensive of somebody else's.
Oh, my God, yes. There's some great stories.
This person was just now listening to the podcast and has some input.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm listening to your podcast from last month, and I was listening to the part where that one girl borrowed her friend's bicycle and the $5,000 bicycle, and she wrecked it. Hey, can I borrow Miss Cleo?
Miss Cleo, your thoughts?
She don't even know.
And finally...
Hello, America. I want to play a game. This Halloween... Actually, I don't want to play a game. Did you know that Jigsaw died like 3 movies ago? All right, he's dead. The killer's dead. The boogeyman's gone. There's no more ghosts. There's no intrigue. All right? His work is carried down by an apprentice. Oh, how original. Oh, you know, between this and Final Destination 4D or whatever the hell it was, I'm really at it. All right? You know what? I'm not going to talk like this anymore. All right? This is getting ridiculous. You guys hire me to do the voice for Saw every year, and you're doing another one? What are we up to? 6? Saw 6? You know, the last movie to make it up to number 6 was Police Academy, and that didn't even have Steve Guttenberg in it. This is ridiculous. I'm not doing this anymore. No more Saw. I'm done. No, you want a crappy voice? Call Ralph Garman. I don't care. Oh.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:35.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Penn Badgley from Gossip Girl in about a half an hour or so. Also, we'll tell you about the new doll that is sweeping America that's homeless. Now, why do you have a homeless doll? How is that a good message for the kids?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I guess we'll find out. I got a book in the mail over the weekend that I had a chance to flip through. Of course, I didn't have a chance to read the whole book because what am I retired? But it's by our friend David Alan Greer. It's called Barack Like Me, The Chocolate-Covered Truth. Here's what Adam Carolla says about the book, Kevin, on the back, the back of the book. Mm-hmm.
This book is funny and thought-provoking. Dag may be the greatest black American since Dr. Julius Washington Irving Carver, whose work I'm not familiar with, but it sounds like a compliment. The New York Times says David Alan Greer is a pompous, potty-mouthed windbag. That's the Dag that I know and love. And he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Good morning, David.
Hello, my friend. Hello.
Yes, very nice.
How are you?
We're good.
Dag, I remember when you were in a few months ago and you told us that you had written a book and it was being published. And I thought, he's just telling stories to amuse the kids. There's no way David Alan Greer wrote a book, but I'm holding it in my hand and it's real and it happened.
Yes, it did. It did really happen because I'm not a liar.
Right, but it just seemed unlikely at the time. Seemed like it was...
Hey, guess who didn't show up on the wrong day expecting to be interviewed?
Well, that's true.
That is true, actually. I didn't!
I remember you touching on this briefly when you were in, but for folks who maybe are unaware that your book is now out in stores and available online, why did you call it Barack Like Me?
Well, Kevin or Bean, I answer the question... why I am not Barack Obama, okay? So many times in life you look at somebody, somebody's accomplishments, you go, well, I could do that.
Yeah.
Clearly, I will not be running this country anytime soon. I couldn't make it through a press conference on Dancing with the Stars without cursing everybody
out. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Alone, a UN summit. So
I would vote for you in 1 second.
But you vote for comedy.
Just for the record, you have my vote if you run.
You know, so that's what it is. It's a memoir, but it's really funny. They're poignant, but mostly I want to give I wanted to really write an entertaining and funny book, and to look back at the time leading up to Barack Obama's election and going to the inauguration. You know, right after he was elected, there were like 800 books about Barack Obama, but they were all very serious tomes.
Right. Right.
And this is really kind of my voice, my perspective on that whole thing.
You know, you may not be able to be president, but you could win the Nobel Peace Prize since we've learned how little it takes.
Wow.
Harsh, right?
Actually, to be serious, you know, I read that he had to be nominated 11 days after he took office.
That was the cutoff, right?
Yeah, I think that it indicates a lot of things, and one of them is a big F you to former President Bush.
It really is just you get the Nobel Peace Prize because you're not him.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's really what it's about.
You do tell some very funny stories in the book, and you know, we've known you for many, many years here on the Kevin Bean Show, David, but there's a lot of stuff that I did not know about. For instance, you talk about the, you know, it seems like you've had a lot of happy accidents in your life, things that you were dragged into that you didn't think you wanted to do. I mean, In Living Color is a perfect example, as I can't believe how much you were against doing that show, yet how you were practically forced into doing it by your friends.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't want to do it. I mean, because, you know, I wasn't a stand-up comic at that time. I didn't want to be in a cast. I likened it to, like, crabs in a barrel.
Oh, good.
You know, I'd hung out at SNL. These guys were pacing the hallways, please, please, trying to get their characters, you know, Dog Boy or whatever, on the air. Backbiting. I mean, they hated each other. I didn't think it was going to be fun, and I was, once again, absolutely wrong.
A lot of people don't know, didn't see In Living Color, David Alan Greer, one of the Fly Girls.
Did not know that.
He was the lead Fly Girl.
Wow.
That's correct.
Okay. You also point out in the book that you got you auditioned for that and got the role over, do I remember correctly, Chris Rock and Martin Lawrence, who were both up for your position.
Yeah, we all auditioned together.
Really?
Yeah, Chris Rock audition. You know, these auditions in New York were basically Kenan asked me to do the show. He was like, you should really do it. And I'm like, what are you kidding me? I'm doing, you know, Fortinbras at the New Jersey Teachers College Shakespeare Festival. I don't need this. And so you come in and we're supposed to do these, you know, improvisations, which, again, I hate. But I really loved that process. It was really fun, and Chris Rock was there. He was along with Martin Lawrence, and Martin and I were pretty good friends back then. And he would come around, actually, and we joked about it for years, like how he didn't make, you know, the show on In Living Color. And I was like, yes, but, you know, now you have your own show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now he's probably making $10 million a movie, so who gets the last laugh, right?
20 million. 20 million.
$20 million.
Yeah, good point.
I left that story out. There was one time when I was driving down the 101 and I was reading the cover of, I think it was Daily Variety, when Martin Lawrence got his first $20 million check, and I did pull over. And word to God, I was like, what? Who?
What happened?
What happened?
As I mentioned when I brought you on, David, and this is David Allen Greer on the phone, by the way, the book is called Barack Like Me, and you can meet Dag. He's got three book signings this week in Southern California. That's right. You are an author, yeah. Tonight at the Borders in Westwood at 7, David's going to be signing books. Tomorrow night at the Book Soup in West Hollywood, also at 7. And then at Vroman's in Pasadena at 7 o'clock on, I guess that would be Wednesday. So three nights in a row, you get your chance to have your book signed by David Allen Greer. I didn't know a lot about your early years either. And, I mean, you actually go into some stuff that sounds like it might have been painful to relive, talking about your parents getting divorced and stuff like that. I mean, as a funny guy, was it tough for you to go kind of straight with some of that stuff when you sat down to write the book?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had my go-to stories. I mean, the big one, the one that I wanted to get off my chest, the ones that were there, and then we would go back, and then we would go back. Like, one of the last things we added, was a list of every medication I was on when I was on Dancing with the Stars, which takes up a good page.
Excellent.
Wow.
Of every drug I was given and vitamin supplement that I would take daily, only to fail.
Well, there is that. At least the payoff was worth it, right?
Yeah, I guess so. But have you noticed that the ratings have gone down?
Since you're off?
There's an article, Dancing with the Stars stumbles in popularity, and this is a quote, because David Allen Greer is not a part of this cheesy program. Wow.
That's the quote?
Who are you quoting when you read that?
Me?
Yeah. That's what I thought.
The book is in stores now. It's called Barack Like Me. It's available online, of course, as well, and we got those three big in stores where you can meet David Allen Greer. You know, you talk about how the cancellation of Chocolate News was one of the most painful things and put you into the biggest show business funk you've ever been in. That was your Comedy Central show. Have you recovered from that yet, David? Are you back? Are you ready to go on and do something even bigger and greater that one day will make us forget Chocolate News even existed?
Probably not, but I mean, I'm okay.
It's good to see that.
I'm on my way to New York to do a play on Broadway directed by David Mamet. It's his new play with James Spader and Kerry Washington.
So wow.
Picking up my interest right now. It's a dramatic piece. It's probably the best role I've had, honestly, seriously. A dramatic play on Broadway. So if that ain't legit, I don't know what is.
Wow.
No, that's cool. You've had a really fascinating career, and if anybody's a fan of David Allen Greer like we are, I definitely recommend picking up the book and go meet the man at Borders in Westwood tonight at 7, Book Soup West Hollywood tomorrow night, and then Vroman's in Pasadena at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Dag, we love you, man. It's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I love you guys back, and I will see you soon in studio.
Fantastic.
Okay.
Thank you, man. Bye.
Bye.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Jessica Stroup from 90210 joins us later on today, and Penn Badgley from The Gossip Girl. Oh, it's my favorite show. On in about 10 minutes or so right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is on vacation this week. We will continue to fill you in with the show biz beat, and we'll start with the box office over the weekend. Couples Retreat was number one in a big, big way with $35.3 million. Lisa, I know you were out last week, but we talked to your boyfriend, Vince Vaughn, on Friday.
He's the best.
He's the best.
He's so awesome.
He really is.
He's such an awesome dude. You know, he recently got engaged to a civilian, as they say, someone not in showbiz, which you don't see very often. Mm-mm. With the actors and actresses. But they have kept it very, very much on the down low. There's only been three or four photos of them ever taken together. They're keeping their private life private.
I saw how it all started. He was at a wedding. She was a crazy woman.
Nope, that was just a movie. He bought her a $125,000 4-carat diamond platinum ring, by the way, and they got engaged on Valentine's Day, and apparently she's a Canadian real estate agent. They're very, very happy together.
Wow, so. Well, that's great.
So she goes back to her tiny village in Canada of like 800 people, and it's like, yeah, I'm marrying Vince Vaughn. You know how that goes.
Yeah. That's weird.
Anyway, so Vince's movie with Jon Favreau and Kristen Bell and everybody, number one, Couples Retreat. Zombieland came in number two with $15 million. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatball and the Toy Story reissues, 3 and 4. Paranormal Activity, the movie made for $11,000, only 160 screens. It made over $7 million over the weekend. I guess now we'll see. You know, they did a great job of getting people into the theaters with that campaign. Now we'll see what the word of mouth is from people who have already seen it, and that'll determine how big it is when it opens wide next weekend. Surrogates, number 6, Invention of Lying, the Ricky Gervais film at 7. Whippet was 8. Capitalism, A Love Story from Michael Moore, number 9. And Fame, very disappointing, just almost out of the top 10 already at number 10 with 2.6 million.
The new Michael Jackson song is out. You've been hearing a lot about it. Here's a little clip of it just so you can kind of get a taste of what it's going to be.
Just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it.
What? Hold on a second. That sounds like that's Weird Al. That's Weird Al's
No,
Eat
It.
It's
new Michael Jackson.
Have some more chicken. Have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it.
I'm pretty sure you're mistaken.
Eat it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're mistaken. I think he does have a new song out called This Is It, though.
This is it. I can say I'm the light of the world.
The guy likes finger snapping, doesn't he?
Or he sure does.
I should say past tense. That doesn't sound very good to me.
It just sounds like typical Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff kind of sounds the same, it seems like.
And being since
it
last does, hour.
At least the newer stuff.
Since last hour, you were asking if they're putting out a soundtrack for this movie. The answer is yes. It comes out on the day before the movie.
Oh, okay.
And this
okay.
song is on it. It says the music that inspired the movie, so I'm guessing it's just another best of, right? I mean,
which people will buy with one new track, right?
Yeah,
I would also think that the production would be a lot better on a Michael Jackson song. Like, it sounds all mastered.
It does sound pretty muddy and.
Was this done? Was it finished?
I don't know.
He's dead, all right? He's doing pretty well for a guy who's dead.
Well, no, he didn't
expect from him.
But he didn't do this when he was dead. But
you
anyway,
don't know, man.
That's the song, This Is It.
This will be it. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is
he
it.
He meant it.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This right. is the final. This is the final curtain call. This is it. And when I say this is it, it really means this is it.
This is it, right. David Hasselhoff, according to the London Sun, has taken another flying leap off the wagon. I love the details of this story. I have no idea whether it's true or not because the British tabloids are notoriously unreliable. But then you got to consider we're talking about David Hasselhoff, and he has had his share of problems with the bottle. They claim that he was hospitalized after going on a major bender at a London hotel. He was seen being verbally abusive to the bar staff. Here's my favorite part, and this is new. He wet the bed on two different occasions.
Wow. That's a lot of wetting for a guy that size, by the way.
Man.
It was so intoxicated that his assistant called a doctor to his room. He became enraged, threw a swing at his assistant, wound up hitting the doctor instead. Then they called an ambulance, and they had to physically restrain him until help arrived.
Wow.
Good times.
So this is, again, according to the London Sun. Who knows whether it's true or not, but maybe you can print anything you want about David Hasselhoff, and he's so drunk he doesn't think to sue you, so maybe you can get away with it. I don't know.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, do you know?
When he got back to LAX, TMZ's cameras were there, by the way, and he told reporters that everything was all good. So who knows whether it's true, but we are going to be talking to Harvey Levin later on today from TMZ.com, so we'll find out what he has to say about it. All right, are you ready for part two of the five-part Miley Cyrus quitting Twitter rap?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I love this. She actually recorded a rap to explain to her many fans why she's not Twittering anymore.
We heard part one last hour where she confirmed, yes, in fact, I am getting off of Twitter. Now she's going to start to take us through the reasons why. And one of the first things she wants to address is the early reports that it was her boyfriend slash co-star in her current movie, the last song, that asked her to stop tweeting. And she addresses that right up front. Here's part two of our exclusive with Miley Cyrus.
No, it wasn't because my friend told me to. Y'all know very well what you say I don't do. And the reasons are simple. I started tweeting about pimples. I stopped living for moments and started living for people.
Okay, so let's dissect. So she started tweeting about pimples, so even she is aware of how lame most of her tweets were. And then she realized she was spending too much time, writing about moments like that rather than enjoying her life and the personal relationships that she might have with people.
But on a different note, she's rapping.
She awful.
Is. She is rapping with her little teenage girlfriends behind her. Yeah, she's very pleased with herself.
I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
I know you think she must be dumb, but in fact, three more parts in our exclusive five-part Miley Cyrus series. So we'll hear more in 1 hour.
There's more Paula Abdul.
Fallout?
It's not fallout. It's rumors.
Oh, okay.
Simon Cowell
His deal at Fox, they think, may include the show that he also put on in England called The X Factor. But I thought it was the same thing. Bean, is it not the same thing as American Idol?
No, American Idol is a is an American take on Pop Idol, which
right.
was a British show.
What's The
and
X Factor?
X Factor is a different sort of a different reality show that involves, I think, more than just singing. I think that's I think that involves other things as well. But X Factor, I think, is the one that Leona Lewis came out
yes,
and became
is.
Such a big star, right?
So they're saying that they think Simon Cowell has a deal for 10 or 11 seasons, but they think his deal might also include bringing the X Factor to America.
Oh, okay.
And over the weekend, Paula Abdul was Twittering that she was in London watching rehearsals for the UK version of the X Factor.
Okay.
All
so
right.
now people are going, she's in London, she's watching The X Factor.
Because she's going to do it here.
If it comes to America, she's going to be a judge.
I see. Because Simon said he wanted Paula to stay on American Idol, so maybe
yes.
this is his chance to give her another job and get her back on TV.
That's the rumor.
Mm.
I don't know why we need The X Factor if we already have American Idol and America's Got Talent.
I don't know, but they've got it over there and it's doing well, right?
Well, no, their Pop Idol failed. And
now it's
The X Factor.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
There's not that much talent in America, you guys.
Yeah.
There just isn't.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, we have a correction from last hour, by the way. I was wondering if Kirk Cameron was Bible Man, because today is his birthday today. He is 39. According to Kevin Bean listener Ryan, he says that Willie Ames is Bible Man.
Oh, that's right.
Now we have that settled, but it is Kirk Cameron's birthday. 39.
But he does do the Christian movies.
Yeah,
right?
Did the Christian movies, and also tried to explain why there is a God because of pineapples
bananas?
And bananas.
Yeah.
Yes, oh, yeah,
that
bananas. Was him. That's right.
That
was him.
Eight is enough. Actor Adam Rich is 41 today, and Hugh Jackman, one of the most popular guys in Hollywood, one of the most popular guys all over the world.
He is.
Well, he is awfully hairy, Lisa. You got to admit.
It's true.
I've seen it. And he's got those huge, big, long fingernails. I mean, seriously, the guy could use some work. Anyway, Hugh Jackman is 41 today, and that is the show Biz Beat.
Where should be answering? And who am I? That's not a secret I'll never tell. You know you love me. XOXO. Gossip Girl.
Oh, Gossip Girl is my favorite show. I watch it every week. By the way, Penn Badgley's on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show right now, and the girls are all a-Twitter in the other room. Oh, I talked to him on the phone. Oh, he sounds so dreamy. Screw you, Penn Badgley. Screw you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
you probably get that a lot. I don't think most of us can conceive of what it's like being on a show like Gossip Girl that has so many pretty people that so many millions of people across the country just love so much. Is it fun? Is it a pain in the ass? Is it
not
surreal? What's it like for you?
Close to fun. No, it's actually pretty incredible. I had a revelation in a cab the other day. I had like a terrible headache, and I was just thinking about my life, and I realized what just how much of a phenomenon this is. Like what a pop culture sensation it is. And I thought, Jesus Christ, that's amazing. Like I'm a part of that. And it still hits, I think, all of us every now and then. I mean, you have to take it in stride every day because you just adapt and you gotta go on with your life. But it's incredible, and it's given us amazing opportunities. And I mean, being in New York City at the age of 22 and not being poor and starving—that's huge.
Yeah. You know,
so especially as an actor, I mean, the fact that you even have a job as an actor puts you in a very, very tiny minority of people who call themselves actors.
Yeah, or just as an American right now having a job, I think that's probably
it's true. That's a really good point too.
Yeah.
Now it seems like it would be glamorous. I know you guys work really, really hard. I mean, I think by this point we know so much about the world of entertainment that we know how much work is involved in an hour-long drama series. I mean, you guys work miserable, long, long days in all sorts of conditions. But it also, I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, there are a lot of perks, too.
Oh, definitely. I mean, and the thing about our show, it's very much an ensemble. Our, I mean, there are plenty of weeks where I'll work, two, three, 4 days out of the week, which is not, even if you're working 14 hours, I can't complain.
That's awesome.
And it can be grueling, but it's not like we're on Law and Order where you're just doing the same court scene every day. You're just doing the same threesome every day.
Sure.
do you like your character, Dan?
I've always had a struggle with him, but I've definitely come to embrace him. He's the audience's ears and eyes, I suppose. He's the necessary moral anchor in a show that's probably mostly immoral, I guess.
Right. Yes.
So
that's accurate.
It's And I'm starting to have some fun with my storylines as well. So I definitely have embraced him. I think he's blossoming into a fine young man.
I imagine you really have to like Dan when his job is to make out with Hillary Duff all day.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, my girlfriend isn't so bad either. So. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, as far as that is concerned, that's I know it sounds like a load of crap, but it really is.
Load of crap. Don't say it.
Don't
say
lie
it.
To us, Pat. Don't lie to us.
Don't say it,
Pat. It really is a job.
Oh, come on. He said it.
Really, I assure you, and I don't know that it's like this for everybody, but I'm able to turn it off and just go through it because you don't understand how many different people we've all had to make out with.
Right, so. But we're in favor of that, and we're saying just be honest. That's all. Don't lie to us.
So it's awkward and uncomfortable is what you're saying.
It's not necessary. I'm actually very comfortable with it because, I mean, I'm telling you, we have had to do it with just, it's every episode. Sometimes yeah. Two different people within an episode or a scene. It's just, it's something that I've come to really be able to compartmentalize.
All right, let me ask you this, and this is a serious question. What about the swine flu? I mean, there have to be times where you show up and you go, seriously, I don't want to be making out with everybody in New York.
Actually, you know what? There was a day where Hillary had... I think she had strep, and so they postponed the scene a week because they didn't want to give me strep, and, you know, then just by proxy.
Have you whoever, pass it around?
Yeah.
Yeah, then Serena gets it, and everybody gets it.
Right? Yeah.
That's funny. We're talking to Penn Badgley on the phone, by the way, about Gossip Girl, of course, which airs Monday nights at 9 on the CW. Penn is also going to be seen this weekend in a movie called The Stepfather. Now, I don't know much about the original version of this, but this is a remake of an old horror movie, right?
It is a remake of a horror film. I mean, you know, we have changed it. It's like right now it's more of a scary psychological thriller. It's not the eerie horror film that it once was. I think it used to be like very much an 80s cultish horror, but this is not that. And also, my character in the original was a girl, so they changed that, I guess, so it was less predatory and more adversarial.
So you play the son, and yeah. The mom gets a new boyfriend, and the new boyfriend turns out to not be all that he is advertising.
That's right, yeah. he is, I mean, you... The thing about the movie is that you know from the first frame who the killer is, and it's a different type of horror or thrill because it's really like this tense dread, waiting for the other shoe to drop and you're going to see how it goes. It is an effort to be a hark back to the Hitchcockian era. I mean it's a simpler story driven thriller, but definitely it has enough to keep everyone on the edge of their seats.
Sometimes it's the anxiety of waiting for what you know is eventually going to happen that is the most terrifying thing of all. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I think people will be surprised. I think they'll be pleasantly surprised when they walk out. They'll think, wow, I really like that, and it wasn't at all what I was expecting. So, you know, hopefully we've achieved that.
You have probably had opportunities to say yes to a bunch of movies since you've been so high profile on television. Why did you decide this is the one you wanted to do?
You know what? I actually did this one nearly 2 years ago. I did this in the beginning of 2008.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah, so this was sort of like a first opportunity that came my way, but I thought it would be really fun. I mean, I'd never done anything like this. And it's, I mean, making these movies real is actually a surprisingly difficult task. You know, I mean, if you're really gonna act like you're this guy walking into the bedroom or whatever when everybody in the theater is screaming, "Don't go in the bedroom!"
Right?
I mean, you have to act like you've probably never seen a horror film in your life. Horror films don't exist in this world, and you have to you're performing all these mental gymnastics to make it work and make it real. And so that as an actor was. Just a big thing.
That does seem difficult to not kind of telegraph that you know something scary or bad is coming.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and, you know, also the physicality of it when you're having to run from somebody with a knife and all that kind of stuff. It's absurd. It's absurd and it's crazy. And people, you know, I mean, if you were having that in your real life, probably most of us would just hyperventilate and curl up into a ball.
Yeah, just fall down in the fetal position.
Mm-hmm. So I'm actually glad to hear you say that you filmed this 2 years ago because it'll give your fans a chance to go and see what you look like back when you were young and attractive. I mean, you know, remember Penn before he got old? Now you can go see him. There's undiscovered footage. That is called The Stepfather, and it opens up everywhere on Friday. Tell us about tonight's Gossip Girl at 9 on the CW.
Oh, God, I don't even know what episode it is because we're so many weeks ahead.
I think last week was Tyra chewing up the scenery. Oh, I think that was last week's episode.
So Hillary's still on the show with us. She's playing my girlfriend. And God, you know what? I don't even know what episode's up. But I can tell you this, which is a nice little soundbite. There's a threesome coming up.
Yeah!
That's what I'm talking about.
All right.
And I'm sure it was awkward and uncomfortable and a lot of work, right, Penn?
Yeah, it was.
You're in that, though, right? I mean, you're part of the three?
I can't say.
Whoa, Fur, can you tell us, is it two girls and a guy?
Of course it is.
That's the only.
Okay, because those are the only legitimate threesomes, exactly.
That's the only legitimate threesome.
Yeah.
All right, Penn, I don't think we've ever had the chance to talk to you on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Today. I want to thank you guys for having me, because I grew up listening to you, so it's a huge thing for me, so thanks.
Hey, we appreciate that, and thank you very much for coming on. Let's do it again soon, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. Bye. You don't have little girls, Bean, so you probably are not aware of the American Doll thing. But American Doll is, I don't know, it's like $100. And
yes.
It's a doll that girls play with, and it comes with an elaborate backstory.
They have their own stores. There's one at the Grove. It's the American Doll store.
I don't know what the dolls look like, but I do know there's a whole industry. Didn't they have a movie, and they got books, and they got the whole deal, right?
The whole deal.
Yeah.
And now people are in an uproar because they have one of the American Girl dolls is homeless.
So they're trying to reflect America today?
I don't know, I guess. I don't know, but they talk about how, you know, parents, groups, and others are coming out going, oh, we shouldn't glorify this. What's so negative? So the company goes, oh, well, it's not about her being homeless. That was just in her past. Now it's just about standing up to bullies and blah, blah, blah. So,
but I would think that if your backstory is that a doll is homeless, it would make the little girl feel good that she's able to bring this doll into her home and give it a home, I would think.
Yeah, well, you would think that, sure.
Let's find out more about it. We do have a spokesperson from the American Girl Company. Actually, it's a subsidiary of Mattel Toys. Rex Farrell joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mr. Farrell, thanks a lot for being on with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So Gwen is the doll in question, and Kevin has it right. The backstory for Gwen is that she was at one time homeless.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We pride ourselves here at American Girl on making a quality product that represents the diversity of American children. It's unfortunate, but with a given economic situation here in America, there are a lot of young ladies who might be between homes, and we just thought we'd represent that. Like I said, we pride ourselves on really representing all walks of life for the American female.
And are you surprised to hear, as Kevin mentioned, some parents' groups that are up in arms saying that they don't think this is appropriate, this isn't something that you shouldn't confuse real life with just a fantasy world of little girls having toys to play with?
Sure. We can understand that the harsh reality of a young girl being homeless might be something that parents don't want their children to be exposed to, but not only do we make a quality toy, but we find that a lot of these American Girl products can be educational, and it's not necessarily comfortable for a parent to sit down and talk to a young girl about the fact that other girls are less fortunate and happen to live on the street. So we feel like we're doing it in a comfortable and a respectable and appropriate way by having an American Girl doll that has gone through something like that. I believe I've sent over a copy of Gwen.
I have the doll, yeah.
She has, you know, various messages. If you pull the string, she'll tell you.
Oh, okay.
If you go ahead and pull that, she'll give you some insight on what her life's like.
Let me hold homeless. Her.
I didn't know the doll talked.
I didn't either.
Let me hold her up to the microphone. Speaker. Okay.
I eat dinner from a garbage can.
As you can see, I mean, it might be a little harsh.
That's a bummer.
That's like really harsh.
It's unfortunate, but there's a dark side to American life, and I think that...
Yeah, but that's no fun. I mean, how is that fun for a little girl? That's not playtime. You know, that just bums them out.
No, not necessarily. Like, Lisa May, is that your name? You were a little girl once. Didn't you want to be more adult? Isn't that part of being a little girl?
Well,
you play house, and you have a husband, and sure. I think that a lot of girls, they want to grow up fast, and this is a way, like I said, of appropriately teaching them about the harsh reality of life here in America. Go ahead and pull the string again.
Okay.
Where did these sores on my lips come from?
Mr. Farrell.
Come on.
That's over the line.
It's just part of life on the street.
She doesn't have good health care if she's homeless.
Very true. Yeah. Very true.
It's very important.
Healthcare, a hot button topic
it's
right now
very
in America.
Important.
Again, it's as educational. Go ahead and pull that string
more.
Hey, Sailor, find two friends and make me airtight.
Oh. Now, unfortunately, a girl who's in her situation, who's living on the streets, might have to do certain things that she wasn't necessarily happy doing, you know, when she was a little bit more fortunate. Go ahead, pull that string.
All right.
I'll do anything for Coke.
Drug addiction and mental health, not always, unfortunately, not getting the best care out on the streets. So.
Yeah.
Hmm. And finally, go ahead one last time.
You don't even know.
That one I think we can all agree with.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right, get ready to go, ooh, when you hear about this. I was very troubled all weekend long ever since seeing that Sit and Sleep commercial on my TV the other day. You know, Larry Miller. And by the way, this is not a commercial announcement. They don't know about this. We're not getting anything for this. But I was watching one of the Sit and Sleep commercials the other day with Larry Miller, and he had a statistic so shocking that I had to bring it in and bring it up on the air. Here's a little bit about what the commercial sounded like.
Just because you can't keep a mattress forever doesn't mean you should. Because after 8 years, a mattress loses most of its support and cushioning. And something else happens.
Okay, right there.
Not good.
And something else happens. And he takes what looks like a gas mask and puts it on it as he reaches down and makes a cut inside the mattress in the commercial. Okay?
Right.
So now he's looking inside the mattress.
After 8 years, your mattress collects so much sweat, oil from your skin, and dust mites, it doubles in weight.
Okay.
Gross.
Wait a second here, Larry Miller. A 200-pound mattress is now 400 pounds 8 years later?
Because of sweat and what? Dust mites.
And bodily fluids.
Yeah.
Well, there's no bodily fluids going on in my bedroom, I'll tell you that.
Don't people use mattress covers?
Yeah,
that's what I thought.
It doesn't.
It just all that penetrates the mattress cover.
Yes, yeah. According to Larry Miller, it's sleep.
Right.
I need a better mattress cover.
So I did a little research, and it turns out it's not just the dust mites; it's the dust mite waste.
Oh no!
Dust mites are small enough; they live in dust, and I don't think you can even see them. Can
you? With the human eye?
Yeah, I don't.
Probably
know.
Not.
But their waste is what causes
are
the.
Are you serious?
But how do they get in the mattress?
I don't know.
How do they go through the fabric of the mattress to live inside the mattress?
Well, the mattress is woven, so they
Well, mattresses are pretty porous. Like, if you spill something like a soda on top of your mattress, it's going to seep through.
And then the dust mites are going to say, thank you for that.
Drink.
So, what creates the dust mites? They have to come from somewhere. They don't just spontaneously grow out of dust.
Extensive research into dust
much.
Mites.
Scientists at the Municipal Institute of Medical Research in Barcelona, Spain.
Barcelona.
Are the ones that are saying this. This is a relative of the spider. Dust mites are microscopic arachnids that live indoors in household dust. So they are drawn to dust. That's where they must sniff it out and go, yeah, that's where I'm going to go live. And then they can get in, and then they poop everywhere.
Oh!
And something else happens.
Yep.
After 8 years, your mattress collects so much sweat, oil from your skin, and dust mites, it doubles in weight.
Doubles?
Ew.
That's
the
heck.
I
want to burn
To find
my
out
mattress.
How old your mattress is, just check the mattress tag. If it's over 8, it's time to replace. Sit and Sleep will beat anyone's advertised price, or your mattress is free!
But here's the first thought I had when I saw the commercial, which is, we've all moved from... By the way, if you have any thoughts on this, if you know about this or have experienced this, if you've ever ripped a mattress open and seen the black gunk that apparently lives inside your mattress, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. The other thing I thought is, I have moved from house to house many times in my life.
Right.
I've always been able to still lift the mattress to get it out, even though I've had mattresses that were several years old. If your mattress is doubling in weight, it seems to me like you would notice it when it came time to move.
No, because I paid two guys in a truck to do it. I don't ever lift it.
Oh.
but I flip mine sometimes by myself, and I can still do that.
But I've never had like a really big bed. I've never had like a king or like a California king.
I don't think you'd be able to flip it if it was twice as heavy.
I can barely flip it now.
It's ridiculous.
That has to be an exaggeration.
It doesn't sound possible, right?
No. Has to be an exaggeration.
Why would Larry Miller lie to us?
I would be surprised if it weighed 20 pounds more than it did when you put it there.
Me too.
I mean, honestly, how could I can't imagine a mattress gaining that much weight in a number of years.
That there has been a mattress once that they have
that doubled in size.
But that was that was a big fat dude gross, that was gross and never showered.
They took a massive sweaty tweaker and they let him sit in a bed nonstop and try to break the world sleeping record, and it was nonstop just hair goo and body sweat and dust mite.
I agree.
It's like dust mite utopia. And from that one bed, they can extrapolate that it can double in size, you know, if you have it for more than 5-6 years.
I'm trying to understand. I don't know anything about dust mites, and I'm not doubting this survey that they exist, but I don't understand dust mites getting down into the mattress, living there for, you know, for year after year after year, and just living down there on dust. It just doesn't seem possible to me.
People who have asthma and are allergic have specific trouble because the dust mite's waste turns to powder, and then it goes out in the air, and they breathe it in, and...
So now you're sniffing dust mite dung.
Yes.
And you're sneezing because of it.
Yes.
Here's something really gross. I put a plastic mattress pad on my bed a long time ago because I heard about this, and so that should stop the problem. Right. It made me sweat.
What?
Like a pig.
I can see that.
It was gross.
That, yeah.
So I had to take that off, so that didn't work.
Mm. And by the way, there are already so many fluids going on in Lisa May's bedroom. The last thing she needs is any more trouble. All right, let's talk to Sarah real quick. She's on line one. Again, we want to take your calls if you have anything to add to this conversation, anything you know about, because I think we may have to do our own research on this and cut open a mattress, because I think I need to see this with my own eyes.
If it's true, we need a new mattress, but I can't imagine that it doubles.
Dude,
I can't
either. Call last week. Hello, that freaked me out. The girl cut her mattress open.
Let's talk to Sarah, line 1, 1-800-520-1067. Hi, you're on the Kevin DeBean Show. Go ahead.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, okay, so I have this fancy, expensive vacuum that when they come out and do the whole demo, you get sold on it when they show you what it does.
Right.
And they demo it on a mattress.
On your mattress?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they demo it on all your own stuff.
Okay.
So they'll demo it on your mattress, and it literally, the filter is water, so you can see everything that comes out. When they do your mattress, it sucks it, and when you look at the water afterwards, it is with this disgusting white film on top.
Ugh.
They say it's like your skin particles,
ugh.
And it's all kinds of nasty stuff inside the water. It is so disgusting that you will buy the vacuum because you want to get all that stuff out of your mattress.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but skin particles is a perfect example. Nobody's sleeping on their mattress. How do the skin particles not come off of your body and end up on the sheets that then get ripped off the mattress and go thrown into the wash? How are they getting into the mattress?
They do. They probably sift on your sheet.
They're tiny, dude.
To the mattress. Yeah, you can't see all of them.
They can get in. They got the little tiny, you know, helmet with a flashlight on it, and they get in.
You know, this is Gene Simmons.
Nope.
She was talking about a white layer of film.
Nope.
Thank you.
Let's go down to line 7, please. Apparently, Eric is on the phone.
Yeah, Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Check this out. I slept on my mattress maybe 2 nights ago without the cover. And I think something bit me. It must have been like a bunch of dust mites because my leg is entirely swollen. It's really infected inside. They must have just took a crap right inside me because this
wow.
Who's hungry?
I've never heard of anyone being bitten by... Yeah, bed bugs sounds more like what you've got.
I don't know if dust mites bite.
I think it's bed bugs, Eric.
I haven't done the dirty in my bed in a long time, so, you know, I can't say that it's bodily fluids or anything like that, but, you know, I'm going to the hospital right now. It's throbbing, Kevin.
Good times.
Oh, you're literally going to the hospital right now because of this.
I am. Yeah.
Wow. By the way, when they talk about, thank you very much for the call, let us know how that works out, dude. I'm sorry to hear about that. When they talk about bodily fluids, they're not just talking about sex, they're talking about sweat, right?
Yes. Sure.
I mean, that's got to be predominantly what they're talking about in terms of fluids, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, let's try Trish on line 5. She has some information to add to the discussion. If you're just joining us, Larry Miller from Sit and Sleep says your mattress doubles in weight due to bodily fluids and dust mites after 8 to 10 years.
And dust mite waste as well.
And dust mites weight, right. You're on the air, Trish. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Hey, so your buddy Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs just covered this on last week's episode.
He did.
Oh, wow.
So his source said... Yeah, the mattress is about 20 pounds heavier. So maybe Larry's kind of exaggerating for TV.
But 20 pounds?
You know, 20 pounds? 20 pounds of black goo.
He said a mattress weighs 90 pounds when it's new, 110 when he disposes of it. So I'm just telling you what was on TV.
Wow.
I need a new bed.
Yeah.
I trust Mike Rowe as much as I trust anyone in the world. Thank you very much for the call, Trish. We appreciate it. You know, we have to get, I hate to say it, but we have to get Larry Miller on. We have to find out more about this.
I'm skeezed out now because I think my mattress,
totally.
My mattress is skeezy. Now my mattress is like a Skid Row mattress.
Does it give a weight? A starting weight
on your mattress? Yeah, I should check the tag. But I'm check sitting the tag. Here thinking about
but
it.
But then how do you weigh?
My mattress is 10 years old, I think.
Mine too. Just about that.
Oh, you guys are sleeping on
Mike,
black death.
What's yours?
Mine is 10 to 15 years old.
And Mike's has a lot of fluids.
Wow, a ton.
You do not you know why?
No, but it's all his own.
I was
going to
say, it doesn't because I never have sex and I have private time in the shower. So
All right, well, let's get that image out of our mind and go back to maybe getting Larry Miller on and seeing if we can figure out a way to weigh a mattress and find out more about this.
There has to be a way to double-check the weight thing, because really, double is ridiculous. 20 pounds is gross.
It's crazy.
And I'm also, especially for me, Bean, I'm terrified if I have that many dust mites, how many pet names am I going to have to come up with now?
Yeah, it's true, because Bean will not...
I will name them all and keep them.
Put them on a leash.
Put them on little jars.
All right, well, we'll figure out how to do that, but you're all sleeping on Black Death. So, good time.
Ralph Garman is on vacation this week. We will continue to keep you posted with the Showbiz Beat. We got some great stories for you this hour, including part three of our exclusive Miley Cyrus Why She Left Twitter extravaganza coming up in just a moment. Here's a story that involves Britney Spears. You remember Adnan Galib, you guys?
Bro.
Of course.
I guess I had forgotten that a process server was trying to give him a restraining order taken out against him by Britney's father, Jamie, the conservator of her estate. And he was not so crazy about receiving the paperwork as he was driving his car right at the process server.
Oh, that's right.
Who jumped on the hood, then fell off, broke his wrist. He has pled no contest to leaving the scene of an accident as a result of that injury. And we're just waiting for sentencing. Adnan, you could get up to a year in jail, man. What's that going to be like for you?
It's okay, bro. Hey, you need refi, huh? I got BlackBerry. Good deal, huh?
We haven't done the topic in a long time, but I'd love to get process servers back on the phone. That, to me, is the most fascinating thing, the things that you have to go through to get to people, especially when they know they're being served.
Yeah, that's the best.
It's a really cool job, right?
I guess.
I guess.
I don't know.
Or really awful.
Kevin, it sounds
hard
like something you would love, though. It sounds like you would, because you get to kind of pretend to be a spy. You know, you try to figure out a way to get into their office and stuff.
I don't pretend, first of all. And second of all, I don't think it would be fun bringing bad news, though.
Well, that's true.
It's always bad news, right? I mean, you're never giving them money.
Yeah. It's never a check.
But for the most part, it's bad news for bad people.
No,
you know
it's
saying?
Not. Not necessarily. Lots of people get sued that shouldn't.
Yeah, I don't know. I think not, but I'd like to talk to him as well. Just
you'd
to
be
find
like
out
a parking meter person. He would hate you.
Yeah, that's true. Paris Hilton is at it again. Oops.
Okay.
Does she have a commercial?
No, she has a commercial.
She's selling us some AT&T? What else?
She's at it again. She apparently got a new pet, a miniature pot-bellied pig. So now she has that.
Stop whoring around, Paris.
Yeah.
Stop being a whore.
They're cute for like the first 6 months, and then they get big.
It kind of surprises me. Yeah, Lisa makes an excellent point, by the way. People who see the piglets and think they're going to be little 5-inch pigs, it doesn't work out that way. They end up being, 150 pounds. But I'm very surprised that she's so late to the game on this, because she seems like the type who would be into trendy pets. And those were popular, 15 years ago is when the potbelly pig craze was happening. It's weird that she would get one now.
It is weird that she's behind you on anything.
That's right. My pigs already lived full lives and are dead, and she's just now getting one. So what's up with that?
Was it a ferret that she had like a year ago, and then she got in a bunch of trouble with the state of California?
Oh, because they're illegal, right?
Yeah.
This week it's hot movies at the box office. According to Daily Variety, we take a look at the list of what you went to see at the theater every Monday morning. Couples Retreat was a huge opener. Top estimate, by the way, was $20 million for this film. It ended up making $35.3 million over the weekend. Just a box office bonanza.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Vince Vaughn and Kristen Bell and Faison Love, Jon Favreau, all the great actors in that movie. It does look very, very funny. I'd like to see it. Didn't get a chance to. Zombieland came in at number two with $15 million. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was third. The Toy Story reissue of Toy Story and Toy Story 2 at number four. Paranormal Activity came in at number five in an extremely limited release. Only 160 theaters so far. It's expected to open wide this weekend. Surrogates was six. then The Invention of Lying, which I saw this weekend. I love Ricky Gervais so much and was so disappointed in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
What a bummer.
What a bummer indeed, because I really do think he's the funniest man in the world. I mean, to me, he's the funniest guy there is. He's a comic genius, but this movie did not get the job done for me. Whippet was number 8, Capitalism, A Love Story, the new Michael Moore documentary at number 9, and rounding out the top 10 was Fame. All right, you guys ready for Miley Cyrus? She's back.
Yes, please.
As you know, she left Twitter. That was the big news. It's the new 9/11. She decided to withdraw from Twitter, and we're doing a 5-part series this morning as we go through the rap song that she posted on her website explaining why she left Twitter. And I think we get a little bit of insight here where she talks about how she tweets for fun and then all the tabloids turn it into news, and then she has to explain and re-explain everything she does. And frankly, she's just tired of it.
Yeah, you like what you're doing, but who really cares if I'm playing with Noah or just doing my hair? Everything that I type and everything that I do, all those lame gossip sites take it and they make it news. I want my private life private. I'm done trying to please. I ain't living for tabloids, no, I'm living for me.
She just wants her private life private, you guys.
Yeah.
She says as she creates a rap song to put up on YouTube for people to see around the world.
It was a pretty cool song, don't you think?
Don't think.
Kind of a up-tempo, positive song.
Right. Thank you, Benny.
I heard that her father, Billy Ray Cyrus, is still tweeting and is disappointed that Miley is no longer tweeting. I don't know why he would care, but he's trying to get her to pick up Twitter again.
Wow. You lost me about halfway through that rap.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know I've got a lot more time to spend on my weekend now that I'm not following Miley. I'll tell you that. She did pretty much give me my Saturdays and Sundays back.
Wow. That's a little scary. We were talking last week about Katy Perry and Russell Brand and how they're a couple.
Yeah.
Boobs.
And how that's not right and all that. Well, apparently they were not only in Thailand for vacation, and they've recently been seen in Paris.
Wow,
kissing and making
world.
Out and wandering around, and it's Katy Perry and it's Russell Brand.
But he's kind of hot.
Nope.
He is in person. We talked about that.
In person, he has some kind of weird.
He does.
Magnetism. I mean, I voted against having him in the studio, to be perfectly honest, because of his.
He's not good on MTV.
Because of his hosting of the MTV Video Music Awards. I thought he was terrible. So I said, no, I don't want to have him in. When he came in, he was very personable, very, you know.
Charming.
Easygoing, charming.
Funny. Yep.
I wanted to date him.
Yeah, so did I.
But then
so Katie.
But then I saw him on the last MTV Awards again. Terrible again.
Yeah, awful.
Yeah.
But he's with Katy Perry.
She must not have seen the MTV Awards. She must have been backstage the whole time.
I will tell you that there's no way this lasts. I'll tell you that. Because he is a known lady killer. I mean, the guy loves women and has them in every city. So I just can't imagine that, you know, he settles down with Katy Perry. Although, if you're going to choose one to settle down with,
sure.
Katy Perry is not
Katy
a bad choice.
Perry,
you know
yeah.
what I'm saying? And finally, Michael Jackson is back in the news. As you know, the world is in a frenzy over this new This Is It documentary. The tickets, you know, people were camping out to buy the tickets. They sold out in seconds, basically, when they went on sale. The movie opens up, what, on October the 28th, I want to say?
Yep.
A day before that is the soundtrack album from the film. We don't know much about what's going to be on it, except we do know that this one new song from Michael Jackson, one of what we were told is hundreds of songs that were in the vaults. This one is in the movie and is going to be available on the soundtrack. If you haven't heard it, here's a little bit of what Michael Jackson left behind. I was surprised, frankly,
not,
at him going in that direction. It just is so different
from
what we heard from. What? I'm playing the Michael Jackson here.
That's that band with the bird lead singer called
Hatebeak.
Oh, that was Hatebeak.
That's
Hatebeak. I'm sorry. Yeah. I must have the wrong file.
That's not the Michael Jackson. This is the Michael Jackson song.
This is it. I can say.
Another song, just like looking in the mirror.
Yeah, I'd rather die.
Oh. I'll take songs that sound like they weren't good enough to be on my albums in the 80s for $400, Alex. Today's celebrity birthdays, not too much to choose from. 8 is enough's Adam Rich is 41, and he's one of the biggest names celebrating today. Oh, actor Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains, right? That was his show.
Yes,
he's
man.
39 today. And the great Hugh Jackman, who one day will win an Oscar. He's an astonishing entertainer. He is 41, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
Our intern Laura is here, and we were talking. Never met before. They discover that they have close relatives that they didn't know they had.
That is weird.
On
immediate
Facebook.
Family we're talking about. Yes, this isn't like, family. Hey, I met a second cousin I didn't know about. This is, I've got a brother, or my mom's alive. Those are the kind of stories that we're talking about here. And before we get to your story, this Philadelphia Inquirer story that broke over the weekend is similar in that there was a 13-year-old girl in Philadelphia who started getting hit on Facebook by the father she didn't know she had. Now, what's creepy about this story is that he knew it was his daughter. He had tracked her down on Facebook because they've had no contact for the last 10 years and started hitting on her, calling himself Big Daddy. And apparently they set up a sting.
God, I hope they got him.
They did get him. They set up a sting that he was going to meet her, and the cops were there, and they arrested him. But that's not how you want to get reunited with family members.
No.
That's not the best use of Facebook, I don't think.
How did you find your – is it stepbrother?
Yes, stepbrother, yeah.
Sorry, I don't think I had the right mic on. There we go.
How can you tell with her whether it's my son or not?
It was a stepbrother that you hadn't met since you were a kid, a baby.
Yeah.
And how did you find him?
He sent me a message on Facebook, and he's like, this is weird, but I think I'm your brother. And he's like, do you know someone named Stanes, which is who I'm named after, my middle name?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. He's like, I am your brother. And yeah.
That's weird.
It was
now,
incredible.
Have you met him?
No, I have
then?
Not.
You haven't?
No.
Because maybe it's your dad.
That's only the last story.
He is old enough to be my dad.
Did he call himself Big Daddy?
No.
Help me out here. Tell me how this family tree works. Where is he in relation to you?
He is my dad's other kid.
Your dad's other kid.
Yes.
Okay. And your dad split from your mom when you were very young.
When I was not even born.
Oh, okay. Before you were born.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you know that this person existed, or was it a total surprise to you to find out that you even have a brother?
No, I knew he existed. I did.
Had you looked for him at all?
No.
No?
No.
How do you feel about him now? Do you have any – I mean, you guys have virtually nothing in common, no similar life experience at all. Do you have any interest in even kindling a relationship with him just because you have some blood relation?
Yeah. I mean, I would totally like to meet him and have a real brother, because I am a single child besides that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Has he seen you in your underwear and in your videos?
Yeah.
Well, no wonder he got back in touch with you.
Just ask him. Just saying. That's out there. All of a sudden, the brother comes around. A little freaky.
Interesting. Yeah. Hey, I could be related to you, too. Hey, wait a minute. That is really weird, and that happens more and more these days as people use the power of the search engine online to track down, you know, family trees and whatnot. I mean, I see stories several times a year of people who have relatives they didn't even know about, but it just has to be so weird. It has to – I mean, I don't know if this is going to be the case with you or not, but in many cases, it changes their whole life because now they've got this person that they – you know, in some cases, get very, very close to that they didn't even know existed.
Right.
I would think your first response would have been, it's not possible. I mean, you get a message on Facebook and you go, okay, well, this person wants to be my friend or whatever.
Yeah, but I knew that
you knew he
existed. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. All right.
1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. The phones are already blowing up. We want to talk to you if you found immediate family members online. That's going to be the topic of the morning. Let's try Bobby. She is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show, and I think she's talking about exactly what we're looking for.
Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Who did you find?
A year ago I found my dad's obituary online. I Googled his name and found his obituary.
Did you not know did you know he was dead?
No.
You didn't know? Wow.
Oh,
I had
dude.
No idea.
Okay.
And then a month ago, I found my stepsister, my stepmom, my half-sister, and my half-brother.
Oh, my God. An entire family.
You found a whole family.
Yeah, and I haven't seen my half-brother since he was 3 months old, and he's 17 now.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So are you going to see them?
They live in New Jersey, but we're planning, like, a Christmas reunion.
Oh, my gosh.
How about that?
That is cool. Now, how do you feel knowing that they weren't looking for you?
I don't know. I don't think they knew of me as much as I knew of them. They were babies.
See, this is what's weird. I mean, you could spend a whole day talking about the interesting ways that people have reactions to blood relatives. I mean, these people are complete strangers to you, right? Yet you do feel some closeness to you because you have common ancestry, and you're going to get together with them and treat them like family, even though you don't know them.
Right, exactly.
I'd like to suggest you don't do it at Christmas, because what if it goes south?
Yeah.
You need to, like, fly out, like, for Thanksgiving for a couple of days or something, meet them.
Some quick holiday.
Yeah, and then you'll know that you don't want to spend Christmas with them, and then you can jettison the whole family.
Yeah, that might be a better idea.
I'm just saying, do a drive-by.
Interesting.
Check them out.
Good luck with it, Bobby. Thanks so much for the call. Let's try Hendrick on line two on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Hendrick. Thanks for hanging on. What happened to you?
Hey, good morning. Saturday, somebody messaged me asking me who my father was.
This past Saturday?
Yes.
Okay.
So and it turns out we have the same father. He's a year older than me, and he ends up having another brother and sister. So my dad was kind of living a double life while he's married to my mother.
Okay, and oh, you just found this out this weekend?
What's that?
You just found this out this weekend?
Just this weekend, and my sister lives in Ventura County. I'm supposed to see her next month.
That you've never met before?
I never knew about them. I never knew they existed.
Wow. When you say your dad was living a double life, did he father these other kids while he was your dad and married to your mom?
That is correct.
And was he married to their mom?
No. Not that I know of.
Gosh. Mm.
Dude. So, now, where's your dad now?
Oh, he passed away when I was like 2 years old.
How about that?
Here's what I like is that Hendrick said that your family lives in Ventura County?
No, my sister lives in Ventura County. The one I just found out about. We all live in North Hollywood.
I see.
So I have a sister that's as old as my oldest sister, and a younger brother and a brother my age.
Wow.
My gosh.
That's crazy that you got all these relatives. I mean, that's going to be so much more expensive for you at Christmas now.
Again, I'm going to suggest that you meet them before Christmas. You don't want to buy gifts you don't have to buy in this economy.
Yeah, go ahead.
The other two live in D.C.
Okay, good.
I wonder if anyone gets in touch with a family member and that person has no interest in seeing them or getting to know them. Just saying, look, I don't care.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Apparently, the youngest one feels like that.
Oh, really? Your youngest brother said no thanks?
Yeah, my half-brother. Yeah.
Well, you don't need him anyway.
I have to tell you, I have a half-sister that I've never met. That I only found out about maybe 10 years ago.
Right.
Wow.
And I don't really have any interest.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't think her mom and my dad were ever married. And she ended up...
Your mom was a whore?
No.
Oh, okay, sorry.
my dad's daughter before he married my mom.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
And she, I think, lives in San Francisco, but she got adopted by whoever her mom married.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so there was never really any...
But you don't have any interest?
I don't really feel any connection to her. Mm-mm.
What if she's hot?
You know, a baby conceived out of wedlock is still a bastard.
Well, that is true. That's a good point. All right. We got some great calls on hold. We have room for yours as well. 1-800-520-1067. Nate, in particular, you hang on. He's going to tell us about finding his father online, who lived 4 miles away from him. How weird would that be if you don't know about him? So everybody else hang on and keep calling to 1-800-520-1067. You found close relatives online. That's the topic. We'll return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 28 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for that. We're talking about you found close family members on the internet, or they found you. 1-800-520-1067. We got some great calls, not much time. So why don't we start with Nate, who we teased right before the break. He's on line 8, talking about Googling his father. Hey, Nate, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. So you were Googling your dad. Why? Because you didn't know him?
Yeah, I never even met the guy. I didn't know who he was. And so it just came to a point in my life where I was just curious.
And how old were you then?
Actually, this is kind of recently. This is about last month.
Okay, so gosh.
How old are you now?
23.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Yeah, and so I looked up my birth certificate. I found the spelling of the name. And I just Googled it. And at first it was kind of hard because there were a couple other people with his last name. But then randomly, I came across this guy who works at this local high school with the same name. And I got kind of curious. I was like, well, I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. And so I had done some more research and actually found his kids, which was kind of...
Nate, Nate, to how you hooked up with your dad. Did you ever see him?
Yeah, I actually, I emailed him. I was like, hey, by the heading on the email, I know that you know who this is. I'd like to meet you. And so we set up a meeting at Starbucks, and you know, just talked for a while. And then
and how did it go?
It went all right. He has a family. He has kids that, you know, they don't know about me.
That he loves?
And he's not going to tell them about you?
Kids that he cares enough to talk to.
But I see here that he lived 4 miles away.
Yeah, that was the creepy part. And, you know, he's like, oh, where do you live? I was like, oh, I live in Chino. And I was like, oh, where do you live? He's like, oh, I just live up the street.
Wow. Like, oh, that's okay. Bizarre.
Gosh.
So it kind of made me think, like, what if I came in contact with this guy without even knowing it? Like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Probably
so, was it a happy ending? Are you two both glad that you made the effort to get in touch?
I'm really glad that I did it. However, I'm kind of pissed off because, you know, he said, oh, yeah, you know, I'll definitely keep in touch. And I
haven't heard from
him.
Oh, man. He did it again.
He had it to do all over again, and he did it the same way.
He left you again. I love that.
He doesn't want you.
Dad.
All right, Nate.
My father doesn't love me, apparently.
Nate,
thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Kelly real quick on line six. She also looked for and found her father. Hi, Kelly. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi.
A lot like the guy that was just on. Mm-hmm. I did a $1 people search. I never thought about finding my dad, and I did a $1 people search, and a few names popped up, and so I picked one, and I just went on a whim, and I drove out to Santa Clarita, and I knocked on the door.
Wait a minute. You didn't email or call or anything? No, you just showed up and knocked on the door?
Yeah, I just went down there, and I brought a picture with me. His wife answered the door. And he was walking down the stairs. And I'm like, are you John? I'm like, is this you? And he was like, oh, my gosh. And then we walked outside. And I think at first he thought I was, like, a different illegitimate child. Because
he has like, hundreds?
I thought you were black. What's going on here?
Because he was like, I've spoke to your mom. And I'm like, you have not spoke to my mom. And he's like, no, I have. She lives in San Luis Obispo. I'm like, no. My mom lives in Anaheim, and he was like, oh, my gosh, Kelly. Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Now, are you happy that you met him? Has it gone well?
I'm happy that I met him, but his wife is not happy that I met him.
Yeah.
And he's got kids that are actually younger than my kids. So it's...
Wow.
Kelly, let me ask you this question. I understand that you were excited and all, but what made you get in the car and drive up there unannounced without giving the brother a heads up? I mean, come on.
The shock value.
were you trying to surprise him? Some trouble?
I just wanted him to see me, and I didn't want to have there be an issue where, you know, like I just wanted to go there.
Sure,
and you didn't want him to be able to avoid it to get out.
There
of
you
it.
Go.
Okay, yeah. I understand. This is why women are no goddamn good. All right, Kelly, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kelly.
All right, Erin is too good to pass up on line five. Erin says she found her brother on a YouTube video. What was he doing? Ghost riding the whip, or what happened, Erin?
Well, no, he was. I didn't find my brother on YouTube. I found like a slideshow of my dad on YouTube.
Oh, no kidding.
Because he passed away like that January before I hooked up with my brothers, and I ended up finding
Wait a minute. Describe hooked up with.
No, not like that.
I'm just saying. That. All right, good. I just wanted to clarify.
So you didn't know your dad or what?
Well, I did. I saw my dad until I was about third grade, and just all of a sudden he disappeared. I sent him a Christmas card, and then a couple years later I found it in my... mom's closet, returned address unknown, and so I never saw him after that. And then I tried to get in contact with him. I did the same thing. I Googled him. I found him on the USA search. I did everything, but I didn't want to drive out and just surprise him. So I just kept on. I finally found his slideshow on YouTube, and then I MySpaced my older brother, and I was kind of worried because I didn't even know if they wanted to see me, and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm glad you found us. We've been trying to find you too, and it was pretty cool.
Wow.
And we've been hanging out ever since. It's really awesome.
Well, that's a good story. A good change.
Glad there was a happy ending. Thank you very much. By the way, so many great calls we're not going to have time to. Found out my biological dad contacted me. I did not know my dad was not my real dad, is one of them. My dad contacted me. I deleted my Facebook account. My birth mother found me on MySpace. I mean, these are crazy stories. Listen to this one. We'll close with Ryan's email. I have a coworker who set up a MySpace page complete with photos and everything in case anyone was trying to locate him because he has a pretty common name. Well, long story short, some chick he impregnated then ditched a while back did find him on his MySpace page and was able to hit him up for child support complete with back payments.
Oops.
How about that? I guess baby found his daddy. He is one smooth operator. Great story, Ryan. We'll take a quick break. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. Congratulations to Kevin Hagley, who just qualified for that big day out trip. We're talking about sending you to Australia to see Muse Rise Against. So that's pretty cool. We'll get your chance to win coming up very soon here on the world famous K-Rock. Right now it is 8:43.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Every Monday, I look forward to talking to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television. Mr. Levin joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
This is someone way cooler than Harvey Levin. This is Dax.
Hey, Dax! Dax! What's going on? How are you, Dax?
I am good. Sorry, Harvey is stuck over there, and I said, you know what? Oh, I'm grabbing the phone since he's too busy for you guys.
Oh, he has become too busy for us, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's a big star.
Wow. Hey, Dax, I'm going to break up with him.
I'm actually glad you're on the phone because I wanted to ask. I always see Harvey's tweets where he talks about how, hey, TMZ fans, you can talk to Dax. He's doing a live press conference or conference call or video chat or whatever you do. What kinds of things do people want to talk to you about from across the country? I understand that they love TMZ, but what do they ask you on those chats?
You guys, I get the most random questions every day. It'll be something totally entertainment related or like, what color underwear are you wearing? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, people are so bizarre out there on what they want to know.
Do you find that people in the newsroom, thanks to the format of TMZ Television, do they develop crushes? And do some of the people in the newsroom have like fan clubs out there and stuff?
Oh yeah, for sure. I felt I was legitimate this weekend because someone started a fan site for me on Facebook.
Yes,
I'm like, oh,
really?
Now I'm legitimate.
Yes,
but Tarzan still gets all the ladies, though, right, Dex?
Of course. Yeah, he brings in all the chicks. Just keep them around for that reason.
All right, let's talk about some of the stories, including something just posted this morning on TMZ.com that we are horrified by. What can you tell us about the Shauna Sand, ex-Lorenzo Lamas' wife? What can you tell us about her sex tape?
Well, did you really think it's that big of a surprise that Shauna Sand would have a sex tape?
No.
Not at all.
But she's gotten so clowny looking with those lips and everything. I don't know that I want to see that.
Nice hooker heels all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see this actually doing somewhat well, though, because we've kind of made her a celebrity, you know, and now she's got a sex tape out, and it's with her on-again, off-again Roman guy. I don't know.
Her current boyfriend, though, right?
Well, they're on and off all the time.
Oh, okay.
Like, at one point, they're together, and then she'll badmouth them outside of a club, and then the next day, they're holding hands again.
But you're okay, I'm sorry, go ahead, B.
Where did this sex tape come from, though? I mean, she admits that, yeah, we recorded it earlier this year, but don't people know at this point that if you're going to be dumb enough to make a sex tape, you have to keep it under lock and key? How did something like this get out?
No, the best part was she didn't say, yes, we recorded this earlier this year. Yes, we've recorded many sex tapes.
Yes, many.
This one happens to get out.
Oh, and did she go, oops, did it get out?
I didn't know that. Well, she says she's fighting it.
Yeah, she's saying she's going to go to court and try to ban it. However, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking she's probably happy that it's getting out there.
By the way,
It does well for people's publicity.
The company that is putting out is Vivid Entertainment. It's not a tiny website.
Like, not at all.
One of the number one companies in the world that
yeah.
gets all the sex tapes.
What was she – I mean, there was a time where she was attractive and I wanted to see her naked. That time has long passed. But what did she used to be famous for? Was she an actress at some point?
She did do some acting, but I mean, she's more famous for being Lorenzo Lamas' ex, and I think even more famous for being on TMZ.
Like yeah, of course. Yeah,
we've just made fun of her for so long because she's so bizarre that now she's got a name for herself.
Isn't that so weird that, I mean, literally her career is going out to clubs and stuff and finding the TMZ camera person. I mean, that's her job now.
Yeah. Well, we've got her coming out of like the plastic surgery office with ice bags on her face, and she's pretty good entertainment.
All right, Dax, what there's a bunch of stuff going on. What do you like? What are you excited about on the site right now?
As sad as it sounds, I am just watching all this Gosling stuff unfold, and I'm loving that he may not have a lawyer to go to court with tomorrow. I think that's the best thing ever.
Really? What's happening now?
Well, John has this lawyer, Mark Hatter, that's been on Larry King, totally like sleazeball-y guy. And in Pennsylvania, he can't practice law unless he has another lawyer backing him. Well, now the backing lawyer is going, never mind. I kind of think this is an insignificant case. I don't want to be a part of it.
Not
going
to back him. Nice.
So I'm thinking, okay, well, good luck tomorrow then, John.
By the way, you know what's fascinating about John Gosling is he insists on doing a lot of interviews, and believe it or not, companies like Entertainment Tonight pay him to be on their show. But he always comes off so badly on these programs that I don't know why he does interviews. He goes on these shows in the with the attempt to improve his image. But doesn't he always just come off like a loser? Don't you think, Dax?
And he'll take any opportunity. I'm telling you, he left the kid's birthday party to walk down the hill to the fence to talk to paparazzi. I'm like, you just need to stop talking. It's not good for you. It screws you over every time.
What a loser.
Those people never learned that lesson.
Yeah. He's loving it.
I mean, I saw him with Nancy Grace the other day, and she was like, look, all you've done for years is say how the TV show is great for the kids. Now that you're not on it, you don't think the kids should be on it. Explain the difference. And he's like, I don't know.
No, honestly, all it is, it comes down to is a power play. He wants to do other things, and TLC isn't letting him out of his contract. Ah. He can do other extracurricular shows and whatever, so he's trying to strong arm them.
Because there are a lot of companies that are trying to hire him to do...
You guys would be surprised.
What? Really?
Yeah, well, look at him. Everyone knows his name. Everyone knows his face. They like to make fun of him. So why not do a TV show with him?
Hmm. Oh, my God.
It works for Paris Hilton.
Yeah. Last question on that is, what's the future of the TV show? I know the ratings are way, way down since they split up. Is the thing just going to dry up and blow away?
Here's the thing. They were down for a while, but now that there's drama back in their lives, now the ratings are going back up.
So people will watch as long as there's the chance that they might fight?
Exactly. Okay. Well, that's what everyone wants to watch. Nobody, them fight on TV. Come on.
No one gives a crap about the kids
anymore. No, of course not. Of course not. They're just collateral damage.
Children?
Pretty much.
Dax Holt from TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for the TV show. Anything great on the show tonight we want to definitely tune in for, Dax?
God, there was a lot of good stuff. I'm trying to remember right now. We just got out of our meeting, but Brooke Burns got her dog back, which is a big
yes!
Deal. Oh, thank God.
Yes!
Oh, my God. Thank God. Oh, all right, that's all I need to know.
Yes.
Dax, thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Jessica Stroop from 90210 is going to be on next hour.
I love DeJuan. We're going to have him call?
He says he's going to. Last time he didn't call when we had previous 90210 star on, but he says he's going to call in and make his love known for the beautiful actress Jessica Stroop. That'll be in minutes here from the Kevin DeBeat Show. Rob is on vacation. We're taking a look at the show biz beat. Of course, all anybody's talking about is that Miley Cyrus has left Twitter. I know... It's hard to go on. It's hard to get up and go to work in the morning and pretend that things are normal. This is just like what it was like after 9/11. I know a lot of people have forgotten the 9/11, but it's just like what this was like. Miley left Twitter, and 2 million of us are now wondering what to do with all of our time. And this is part four of our five-part series as we go through Miley's rap that she left on her website of the reason she decided to leave Twitter. We've been doing it since first thing this morning. And in this verse of her rap, again, I say rap that she recorded, she explains some of the things that she's going to miss about not being on the service.
No more emo quotes and thank you with Demi. Yeah, I'm done with all that. And the truth is I'm too busy. Yeah, I gotta admit, I'll miss Dane Cook's tweets. And I really like looking at Katy Perry and Britney.
Okay, so she's going to miss Dane Cook's tweets and looking at Katy Perry and Britney. I don't know how she's going to go on. Where is she going to find the strength to get by every day without all of that in her life? I don't know.
Hope that she pursues this new direction as a rapper.
As a rapper?
She should put out a rap album. I would be so happy.
Yeah, that's part four. One more 1 hour for right now on the Kevin DeBeat Show.
Paris Hilton has a new pig. How about that? A miniature pot-bellied pig. She's got another animal.
Yeah.
You know, since we talked about this earlier today and we were wondering why she's so behind the trends, a lot of people have been emailing to suggest that maybe she's got one of these new micro pigs that they've developed in Britain that are much smaller than pot-bellied pigs. But that's not what the article says. The article calls them pot-bellied pigs, so I'm not sure what size pork she's getting or why she's getting another pig.
I can tell you that Dave, the King of Mexico, is trying to get one of those pigs from England.
The miniature one?
Really?
They've got to be really expensive.
He was showing me the pictures online on Friday. He was like, oh, I love them. Look how cute.
They are. I mean, they're adorable. They only get to be, I mean, I think they're like a foot tall or something like that. I mean, they're like having a small dog, but they're pigs. So, but Paris is a horrible pet owner, right? How many dogs has she lost since she's been famous?
Like 10.
All?
Yeah. She doesn't seem to be able to keep any of them for more than a few weeks. So I'm not down with Paris getting another pet, I'll tell you that.
I agree.
Amy Winehouse back in the news. She made a return to the stage last night. You know, she has performed live just 3 times in the last 9 months. how much money could be coming into Amy Winehouse these days? I can't imagine that her record is still selling enough to be paying her royalties to live on at this point.
Yeah, it wouldn't have to be running out.
I would imagine so. Yeah, because that's where, you know, you make your money is the live shows, and she hasn't been doing any of that. She's had all of her health problems, but she made an appearance on a TV show called Strictly Come Dancing last night. This was as a backup. I know it's a terrible name for a show. This was as a backup singer for her goddaughter, who's a little 13-year-old entertainer. And Amy Winehouse was just part of the backing choir. And she looked, I mean, I saw the clip online. She looked pretty good. What I was looking for, though, that I could not see in this clip is evidence of the new breast implants that she received. Apparently, she decided to get bigger boobs. She went from a 32B to a 32D.
Giant size cans.
And that is not going to help Amy Winehouse be more attractive at all, which is remarkable because usually boobs do the trick.
Yeah, well, it's going to give people something else to focus on, though.
Boobs on a skeleton are not attractive.
But yeah. I'm saying she could have spent the money on her face, let's be honest.
Yes.
That's absolutely true.
Or she could do this sleight of hand thing where she gets bigger boobs and then nobody looks at her face.
Yeah.
She said a source at the hospital quotes Amy as rambling and saying, I've had a boob job. I had them done for Strictly, meaning the television show that she was just on last night. I wanted to look my best, and I'm sick of stuffing hankies down my bra. Look, most of the pictures that I've seen of her from, you know, when she was living in the Bahamas or whatever, she wasn't even – forget putting on a bra. She wasn't putting on a shirt.
Yeah. Right.
So,
right.
I don't know what the new Amy Winehouse is all about, but it does seem like there are other things she could be doing. And, you know, I love the big boobs, but it seems like Amy Winehouse, that's got to be pretty low on the list of priorities of things she should be doing to improve her life.
Yeah.
Well, you would certainly think that she could get a lot of plastic surgery on her face. Everything. Everything possible.
Or she could just quit drugs. That might help.
That might help, too. New Michael Jackson song is out. I don't know if you've heard it or not. Here's a quick clip.
My stump, my stump, my stump. My lovely little stump. MBT.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's wrong.
That doesn't. That's it.
This is it. This is it.
I'm the light of the world.
And it's called This Is It.
This is real. Every time I'm in love,
yeah, that sounds like some warmed over old Michael Jackson song.
It does.
Apparently, the movie comes out on the 28th. The day before, there's a soundtrack, a 2-CD soundtrack of music of music that inspired the movie. So, to me, that sounds like it's mostly his hits.
Yeah.
You know?
Boring.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
What about that Fire song though?
That was pretty good. Yeah. That's the best thing I've heard Michael Jackson do in decades. Yeah. From what was the movie? Firehouse, Fireplace, Fire Tongs, the Kirk Cameron Fireplug.
Remember.
What was it called?
It was Fireplug.
This Jesus movie about firemen, Kirk Cameron celebrating a birthday today. He is 39. Another child star from the TV, Eight Is Enough's Adam Rich turns 41 today. I know it's a very thin day for birthdays today, but at least Hugh Jackman celebrates his 41st birthday today. That is the Showbiz Beat. We got another look at the Showbiz Beat minutes away, including the final episode, part 5 of our exhaustive 5-part series on Miley Cyrus's rap as to why she quit Twitter. She's got a big finish in store for us, guys. You definitely are not going to want to miss that. Our friend Dewan A. Johnson from Los Angeles, California joins us on the phone now. Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin Levine? How's it going?
How are you doing, man?
Good, thank you. Hey, Lisa.
Hello, Dewan. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Dewan, we got some good news and some bad news for you. I know that you are very, very excited. You've been up all morning long emailing us because your girlfriend Jessica Stroop from Beverly Hills 90210 was supposed to be on right now. The bad news is that she's not going to be on today, Dewan.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know. But the good news is we have consulted with her people, and she is 100% confirmed she will be here at this time tomorrow. So we will still have a chance to interview her, and you will still have a chance to talk to her.
And I think I'm not going to be at home tomorrow. I have to leave from my house at 7 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
What do you got going on tomorrow, Dewan?
Have to go to work.
You got to pay the bills, man.
Sure.
So does this mean you're not going to be able to call in to speak with Jessica?
I'm going to try to, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. 100% of that.
I got you.
All right. Well, you're certainly,
what
I just want you to know.
She's going to be on
time.
At 9 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I just want, I'll call if you can.
Tell her I'll say hello. Tell her to check out my favorite band, Carney.
Okay. All right. We will tell
now,
her that.
When you've talked in the past about how the 90210 girls are bootylicious, what do you mean by that, Dwan?
They're really hot.
Yep.
They're really hot.
That is true, by the way.
All right. And they, and you say they should shake that ass, right?
Really?
That's what you said.
You told us they should shake that ass.
You did. You called up and said that one time, Dwan.
Yes, I did.
You're the best.
I got to meet them someday.
Yeah, I know. You do.
You absolutely. You should be on the show as far as I'm concerned. All right. One more thing, Dwan, that we have to talk to you about is we understand that you had a request. There was something that you wanted Omar's help with. Is that true?
Yes.
What is that?
To plan me a birthday party, my 27th birthday party on November 6th.
Yes.
On November 7th.
Dwan, you're awfully goofy this morning, Dwan. Is everything going okay?
Today.
But that wasn't it. We heard that you wanted Omar to teach you how to be a DJ.
Yes.
Oh. Are you looking for another career?
Not really.
Not really.
I try to be a DJ mixing rock and rap.
Okay. Sure, that's actually great. That's very popular. Have you thought of a DJ name?
DJ D.A.
D.J. D.A.
D.V.D.A.?
Nope. D.J. D.A.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Very different.
That's completely different, right? All right. So you want to learn how to spin. You want to be on the ones and twos playing the records then.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I think we can make that happen.
All right. Well, listen, we got a lot of work to do on your next party. I know you had to postpone your party last week, but maybe you know, your birthday is a couple of weeks away. Maybe we can get something together by then.
Sure thing. Next month on November 6th or November 7th.
November 6th or 7th.
Okay. Because that's how birthdays are, is they just float.
And you still want it to be a surprise party, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. All right, Dwan. Well, listen, 24 hours from now, if you have the opportunity to call in to talk to Jessica, we'd like to have you do that tomorrow, okay?
No problem.
All right, Dwan.
All right, Dwan. You're the best, man. We love you. You know that, right, Dwan?
Yes.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman's on vacation this week. We are continuing to take a look at showbiz news for you. This just in. By the way, I forgot to tell you guys that I'm getting audited again.
Oh, Bean.
This, it used to happen to Kevin all the time. Remember, Kevin, back in the 90s, you got audited. It seemed like, it may not have been every year, but it seemed like every year you came in with a sad sack face.
Once you get on their list, they follow up on it, and they just take for granted you're just going to be needed to be audited again next year.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But here's what I don't understand. I was audited for my 2004 taxes, and I have a really, really good accountant who doesn't claim every single penny that she can. Okay? Mm-hmm. She leaves a little bit in reserve in the event of something like this happening. And they ended up owing me a couple of $1,000s after 2004's returns. Okay? Now, if they've already edited me and seen that I'm that seen that I'm that clean, why audit me again? Why waste their time on me when they could be going to somebody else that they don't know about?
I don't think they pay that close attention. I really think that
you're
on a list someplace that's computer generated and they just are going to return every year.
They've already got my phone number, so why not just audit me again, right? Well, I only bring that up, and it is showbiz news, because 2007 is the same year that the United States government has a lot of questions about for Mr. Nicolas Cage.
Uh-oh.
In fact, that was a huge year at the box office for him with Ghost Rider and National Treasure, Book of Secrets. He apparently has $6 million in unpaid back taxes from 2007 right now. The IRS also has another lien of $350,000 in unpaid taxes for previous years. In fact, it has gotten so bad for Nick Cage that he has started to liquidate some of his legendary multi-million dollar properties. You know, the dude is a huge landowner and homeowner all over the world, right? He has sold his castle in Germany. He is selling other properties in California, Las Vegas, and New Orleans. We talk about this all the time. Annie Leibovitz, the famous celebrity photographer from a couple of months ago, remember, came very close to losing the rights to all of the photographs that she'd taken in his life. These people that make tens of millions of dollars, how do they end up going broke?
I don't know.
How do you do that?
What they said about her is she just didn't bother to look at any of her spending. She just bought what she wanted when she wanted and paid no attention. Yeah.
I guess I can understand if you're a guy like Nicolas Cage and you're one of the few guys who's getting 10, 15, sometimes $20 million for a movie, you just feel like, hey, if I want to buy another house, I'll buy another house. But, yeah, so the IRS is coming after him. There's also a bank in New Jersey, I think, that has filed a breach of contract complaint saying that he has failed to pay back a $2 million loan that he'd taken out. I mean, he's going to end up like Wesley Snipes if he doesn't pull it around here pretty soon. But look for a lot of really crappy Nicolas Cage movies coming to theaters soon near you.
That's when they start having to take movie roles to pay the bills.
Oh, man.
That's
right, exactly.
There's new information, it would appear, about Paula Abdul being on American Idol. You know, Simon Cowell has a deal with Fox that lasts, I don't know, 10 or 11 seasons. And they think that it also involves bringing a show called The X Factor to Fox as well. He's done this show in Britain, and it does really well over there. And apparently, Paula Abdul was Twittering that she was in London watching rehearsals for the UK version of The X Factor. And so now people are saying, well, if she's at the UK version and she's Twittering that she's there, maybe he's found a way to bring... He wanted her to be on the show, right, on American Idol?
He did,
yes.
Yeah.
He stood up for her, right?
So they're thinking if that show comes to America, she'll be one of the judges on it.
Gotcha.
And I hope that's the case as well, because I like to watch her.
She's spectacular.
Or she could have just been in London for Simon's birthday party and stayed for a couple of days and did some fun stuff, too.
Sure.
We don't know. Miley Cyrus, speaking of tweeting, Kevin, she's gone. You can try as hard as you want. Go to twitter.com/Miley Cyrus. You will not find an account there because she has deleted her page.
No!
She
is...
I felt the same way when I got the news on Friday. I will tell you that she is explaining to her fans in an unusual way, though. She has recorded a rap. And this is our final segment of the Miley Cyrus rap. It's a five-parter presented for you exclusively today here on the Kevin DeBean Show, where she talks about maybe what regrets she might have from leaving Twitter.
I might have some withdrawals. I was a little obsessed, but I'm peacing out, and I'm leaving with this. Ha, goodbye.
There's Miley. Goodbye, Miley. See you, Miley.
Goodbye, Miley.
Take care, Miley. Adios, Miley.
Wow, that is just awful.
It's horrible.
She's peacing out, though.
She is peacing out. That's true.
So Miley's gone, and what's the point of having Twitter if Miley Cyrus isn't on it?
Well, I don't know. You may as well just turn yours off, Bean.
Here's what I know, and this is all I know about the situation, is that I know one person who found this information out on Twitter. And that's Bean, because he followed her.
Yeah.
Well, that's
disturbing.
And we didn't know that.
That maybe.
Wow.
That may
the rest of us found out about it from newscasts or whatever. Bean got to Twitter, and apparently the Twitterverse went crazy on Friday, and Bean was right there in the middle of it.
Daily Variety each Monday ranks the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. It was, if you were in the mood for a comedy with attractive, mostly white people, Couples Retreat was the movie for you. $35.3 million, an enormous box office smash.
That's amazing.
I can't imagine there won't be a sequel with money like that coming in. Zombieland was number two, $15 million at the box office. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, number three. Toy Story and Toy Story 2, re-released in 3D, came in at number four. Paranormal Activity is going to be, it's going to end up being, if it continues at this pace, one of the most profitable movies of all time. It only cost $11,000 to make. It's had a kind of a bare bones, low budget advertising campaign. And it was in 160 theaters over the weekend, made $7.2 million.
Wow.
I mean, think about that. That's crazy money. It's going to expand wider this weekend. We'll see if that holds up. Surrogates was number six. Ricky Gervais's The Invention of Lying was seven. Then Whip It. Capitalism, A Love Story at nine, and Fame, rounding out your top ten.
Sorry, trying to hit the sound effect. I don't know if you've seen this story, but it turns out that Katy Perry and Russell Brand are an item, and they're a real item. They're going on vacation.
They're not just doing it?
I know we heard this last
week. Well, they are, but they're doing it across the world,
because
apparently.
Last week I was thinking, oh, this is just not right. Oh, yeah, sure, they're in Thailand on vacation or something. Well, they saw him again in Paris now, together.
Well, and then it's real.
They're apparently, they're a deal. They're together.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
It is.
Sorry,
There needs to be a sex tape, though.
Katy Perry and Russell Brand? You
want to see a sex
tape? Do you love Katy Perry enough that you would watch a sex tape, even though it involved Russell Brand?
Even though you've seen him on the MTV Video Awards.
Yes. I would watch a sex tape with Katy Perry and a camel. That's how much I love her. I don't care who else is in the sex tape as long as Katy Perry is in it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
And finally, everyone is abuzz. I guess midnight last night, MichaelJackson.com posted their new song. The new song from Michael Jackson called This Is It. So this is the dovetailing of the marketing campaign of the movie and the album and what was going to be the This Is It tour. Here's a, I actually have it here, Kevin, a sample of what the new song sounds like for folks who wonder, hey, what was left in the vaults? Because a lot of times, you know, they release the good stuff. If anything's left over, maybe there's a reason it didn't come out. But I'm very impressed, and I can't believe Michael didn't release this one when he was still alive.
How great is male ass?
A different direction for Michael Jackson, but I like it.
Wow. They would come out and say that, though.
Yeah, that's
bizarre. Here's the actual Michael Jackson song.
When I met you last night, before you opened up again.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? That's not the right song. I apologize. That's the Nate Stroke Nate. What are we calling it?
Nate
Dogg Stroke Project. Here's the actual Michael Jackson song.
Boring.
That's what I think.
I am actually very upset with one of our listeners, by the way. He put it in the subject line, so I couldn't avoid it, but he sent a spoiler alert with the Michael Jackson movie that apparently Michael Jackson dies at the end. And that's
ridiculous.
So unfair to ruin it for me before I've gone to see the movie.
Well, now I'm not going. Now that I know. What's the point?
Yeah. Now we know. So. All right, that's it. How about today's celebrity birthdays? Not much to choose from unless you're a fan of child stars on television shows. Adam Rich from Eight Is Enough turns 41 years old today. Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains is 39. Really, the only star today is Hugh Jackman, who is 41. That is the showbiz beat. Yeah, he's a dog. Uh-huh. He's tough to look at.
Go on, beat that.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show, the Chinese Midget Town Circus. Tell you about that. If you're a process server, we want to talk to you from G4's X-Play. We have Adam Sessler in the studio to talk about Brutal Legend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which looks awesome. And tomorrow, this time we mean it.
Sure.
Jessica Stroop from 90210.
Okay.
Yay!
That's tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean show.
Don't go anywhere. Cat Corbett is next. You know how fun it is to see which cat is going to turn up after a long weekend. I'm very excited to hear Cat next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Just Breathe, the new song from Pearl Jam. We also got some Modest Mouse, Kings of Leon, 1901 from Phoenix, The Offspring, and more next on K-Rock.